Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, July 29th, 2012. This is episode 896. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. It just takes a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code TECH. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone from your home or office. Find out what your gadget is worth right now at Gazelle.com. Well, a good day to you. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, and it's time to talk, technology, you know, computers, the internet, home theater, the Olympics. What? The Olympics? Well, there's some technology in the Olympics. It's actually, you know, the Olympics are a great, Olympics and the presidential elections in the U.S. are a great test of technology, because they only happen every, 4 years, Summer Olympics anyway, and that means, you know, a lot can happen in 4 years. 4 years ago, Twitter was brand new. Facebook was around, but not widely used. People used the internets for sure to watch stuff in 2008. In fact, I remember very well that there was a lot of complaint about not having enough of the Olympics on the internet in 2008. Well, they're all on it now, apparently, at NBC Olympics. But the weird thing, and I have to say, I think this is the last gasp for this. The weird thing is the very paternalistic attitude that NBC, at least in the U.S., takes towards the Olympics. I think the BBC is doing it in the U.K. and elsewhere. They pay a lot of money for the rights to those. So if, for instance, you want to watch an Olympic event at NBCOlympics.com, you need to tell them that you are already getting NBC on a cable provider or a satellite provider. Not over the air, apparently. That's not good enough. If you think about it, in the recent battles between Viacom and DirecTV, this is kind of the last gasp of the cable companies who want to be the gatekeeper for content. But the problem is, of course, we've got this thing called the internet. And you know, I think the Olympics may stay that way because, of course, there's nobody more anti-internet than the IOC, the Olympic Committee. They want to control everything. They're deeply invested. And maybe, because it's such an expensive event to put on. They want, in the contracts with the athletes, it tells the athletes what they can tweet. They control what you can see. And, of course, the big brouhaha, and boy, it was crazy on Twitter on Friday night, is over the opening ceremonies. Now, I'm sure it'll continue through the next couple of weeks, but the opening ceremonies, those of us who watch Twitter, and I admit I have it open all the time, saw all the events of the opening ceremonies live on Twitter, but we couldn't watch them live on the internet. We had to wait till the evening. Because NBC said, it's too complex for the American audience. They need a tape-delayed version with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira explaining what they're seeing. And they edited it. They cut out parts of the ceremony. They put in ads. And, yes, we got Matt and Meredith. In fact, a trending hashtag on Twitter was, "Shut up, Matt Lauer." It's what you'd expect. It was like watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade with Matt and Meredith, you know, explaining and the next float is. But what's happened is that the internet has kind of done an end around on all of these media incumbents, these patronizing, paternalistic media entities like the IOC and NBC and Comcast. And said, you know, people, you can watch it online. And I think this is the last time, probably, that the IOC and the networks can control this so tightly. I just think the internet's going to, you know, pirate it. It's going to go around it. And, you know, it may never happen with the Olympics. I know it's expensive, and in order to make it work, you got to control it tightly and put ads in there, make sure people don't see it for free, blah, blah, blah. And maybe that will never change. But, boy, in every other respect, it's changing. The tight death grip that the media companies have on content is just disappearing. And they are kicking and screaming all the way. I enjoy watching the Olympics, and probably there's plenty on TV. Once the Olympics begin, unless you have a specific event that you want to watch, and again, NBC says, hey, as long as we've got a camera at that event, we will put it on the internet at least. So you can go to NBCOlympics.com and at least catch it on the internet. But I think what the internet has done is created a taste in the people for unmediated, live, uncommentated, unexpurgated, unedited content stuff. We want to watch it. Shut up, Matt Lau. Get out. Sit down in front. I'm trying to watch it here. It's one of the reasons people had such high hopes for television in general, right? Is that in repressive communist nations like the Soviet Union, once people got a taste of what real life was like in the capitalist world, they wouldn't accept totalitarianism. And, you know, in some degree, that's true, isn't it? Television could probably have a lot to do with the fall of the Soviet Union. And maybe the internet will have a lot to do with the fall of television. I don't know. Just a thought. 88, what do you think? 8888, ask Leo. We could talk about that. Of course, there's a more proximate computer stuff to talk about, like the new Mountain Lion for OS 10. What's your experience been? I haven't heard any howls of pain. You know, you always watch when a new operating system comes out. And this is OS 10, 10.8 Mountain Lion. You always watch carefully to see if there are people who go, oh, my goodness, ruin my system. I can't get any work done. And to my knowledge, you know, it's only been a few days. I haven't seen anything. So I'm wondering if you've had a problem with Mountain Lion, share it with us. Of course, there will be some software, maybe some hardware that doesn't work with it. There's also the point to be made that it's not such a major upgrade that you'll miss it if you don't do it. I mean, as usual with Apple, if you don't upgrade, eventually there'll be things you can't get. That's always the case. Nice thing about Mountain Lion, apparently, is you no longer, or it's not necessary, as we often recommend with a new operating system, to start from scratch. Not necessary with Mountain Lion. I've upgraded several machines now. They all seem to do just fine. In place without, you know, clobbering the previous version. The other good thing about Mountain Lion, hey, it's only $20. And you buy it at the Mac App Store. You have to have a recent Mac, and you'd be running at least Snow Leopard. But if you meet those criteria, it's a simple thing. $20 once you pay, and then you go to the App Store on all your Macs, and you download it, and you're good. So let me know. Anybody having any trouble? This is part of, you know, what we do here. It's not just me answering your questions. It's also us talking. It's like I don't know if you all remember computer user groups. They're still around. So the best thing in the early days of technology, of computing, was you'd go, you know, every second Thursday of the month, you'd go. I remember going to the Berkeley Macintosh users group at the University of California, Berkeley, and you'd go, and I think it was every second Thursday. And people, and it'd start off, the way it starts off is a big auditorium, hundreds of people. People would stand up saying, I need help with this. How do you do that? And people would help each other. Then you'd have a speaker, usually from industry, who would then be mocked. There'd be then a giveaway, a raffle of prizes, usually software from that person who was being mocked that nobody wanted except everybody tried as hard as they could to get it. It was always fun. And, of course, there'd be a table at the entrance to the user group. This is the one thing we can't do. Where they remember the librarian, the guy who would have, like, thousands of floppy disks in front of him, sometimes in Ziploc baggies. And and you'd go there, and there'd be a shareware library. You'd go there, and you could say, oh, yeah, I'd like to, can I check out these three things? Remember that? That's some one thing I can't do for you. But, you know, the internet makes it just as easy to get this stuff as ever. Easier, really, anytime you want. But we can do the other stuff. Raise your hand. Ask a question. The phone number is 8888-ASK-LEO. And it's not just me. Again, we've got a whole bunch of people in the auditorium today via our chat room who are really good at this stuff. 888-827-5536. Last day of the old Tech Guy Labs. It really is official now. Wednesday, the new site launches Wednesday. The reason we're launching it Wednesday is so that we can fix it by the next show, Saturday. So if you want to see the old site, techguylabs.com truly is the last day. Your call's next. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Oh, Jungle Land. Wow. I saw that, Chris. You got it. You got it, Boboa. It is the hottest topic in business today. And I have to say, it is what I recommend, moving your business to the cloud. It's what we did with Google Apps. And I'll tell you, you get everything.
It is. It's Tech budget. It's Tech Guy Labs, Duke Nukem forever.
And let's... I mean, I accidentally flashed the GoToMeeting lower third when we began the show. Whoopsies. But it is a good chance to mention this great software for you. If you do online meetings, and I think the summertime especially is a time when people just are, you know, everybody's out of the office. Or people just want to go home, you know. They want to go down, sit by the pool, relax. But still, business sometimes has to get done. We're not in school anymore, kids. We're not, we don't get the summer off. So GoToMeeting makes it possible to get those team meetings done, the collaboration, the sales pitches. Your client could be in Cabo San Lucas, but you get to meet with them via this great software. Now, it's screen sharing plus, and I want to, the plus is the new thing, is HD faces. They've added the ability to share your camera. Now, most PCs and Macs have cameras now, so you can share the camera. And look at this. You can also join a meeting on an iPad or an iPhone, and on the iPad, it'll use the camera, and you can see them. They can see you. Oh, it's awesome. Got to try this. Summertime is a great time to try GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com. I can get you 30 days free right now when you use the offer code TECH, T-E-C-H. It's just that simple. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the offer code, or promo code, I should say, TECH. I think it says promo code on the site. Yeah, promo code T-E-C-H. And 30 days are yours for free, my friend. GoToMeeting, the way to meet online.
Com, use the promo code.
Yeah. He's still doing commercials, too. You put loin on parallels. what did Pogue say about Mountain Lion? How great it is, how much he loves it. I did not read it. Let me see. Let's see what David Pogue says. Yes, you shout at the laptop Leo sent me. That's the key. Hey! Sound like Gilbert Godfrey. Leo sent me! So it's interesting, Sandra, in Norway. So you're able to watch the Olympics online. I mean, it's not like they can't monetize it. There's ads all over it. And you could see everything you want. Did you have to tell them that you had a cable company account? I really think this is the last year it's going to be so cuckoo. 4 years from now, it'll just be, they're going to just have to do it. All right, I'm looking for David. David Pugh. Apple considering a stake in Twitter? Yeah, right, whatever. Considering a stake is meaningless, right? Yeah, we thought about it. I thought about buying a stake in Twitter, then I found out they wanted billions, and I decided against it. Hey, John, what do you think? Let's buy Twitter. What do you say? No? Can't afford it? Oh, well, never mind. Sprint taking a walk on Nextel. What a surprise. Where's Pogue? I don't see him. I don't see the Pogue, man. Ah, there it is. The payout in an Apple upgrade. A new version of Windows is a big, big deal. Big changes, big price, big installation. Yeah, $40, David. Apple takes a different approach to iOS. Yeah, this is what I just said. Simple installation, $20. Is Mountain Lion worth 20? You know. no. Can we play this? Is the Olympic Committee going to give us a hard time? Now, I thought this was good. This is Arctic Monkeys, right, doing Come Together at the opening ceremony. I thought this was good, but then Scott Wilkinson, who's a professional musician, and his wife, who's a voice speech therapist and also a professional singer, said this guy was flat. Is that flat? I don't know. I can't tell. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. We are seeing new pictures of prototype iPhone parts. Oh, yeah, I don't care. Do you care? Are you sick of that? The problem is, and I have to point this out, that there may be, we don't know, there may be multiple prototypes. Apple has been known to do this. Maybe there's four different iPhones in the wild. They're testing different things. This doesn't mean this prototype found in a bar. Was it found in a bar? Found an assembly line in China? Doesn't necessarily mean this is the one. But it could be. Smaller dock connector, yeah. It's using that outside rim, you know, assembly that we've seen before. So it does seem confirmed that this is probable, that this possibly could be maybe a rumor about what will happen sometime in the future. Perhaps. Possibly. Long, tall, thin. I don't even care. I wonder at this point if the iPhone is not going to look a little out of date when people compare it to Android phones. Because Android phones are, you know, they're updating constantly. Every few months, there's the newest thing. Samsung's already at the third generation of its Galaxy S. And the S3 is fantastic. Probably beats an iPhone in every respect. You know, I just wonder, everybody's saying, and I think it's probably true, that this is going to be the biggest iPhone release ever. All the analysts, you know, the people who are advising stock market investors are saying, Apple is going to make more, is going to make a gajillion dollars in the fourth quarter thanks to the new iPhone. A gajillion dollars. It's going to be the biggest, best-selling ever. And I just have to wonder, at what point do people stop? Maybe never. I mean, people bought Windows on automatic for years. People bought IBM mainframes on automatic for years. There's a certain inertia. People don't want to think, right? They don't want to think about technology or think about what's the best. It's too confusing. There's too much. I understand that half the people who call this show are saying, what should I get? I don't know. Tell me, Leo. Tell me, Uncle Leo, should I get an Android or an iPhone? So maybe there is just this inertia, like, well, just get an iPhone. You can't go wrong. There's also the fact that you might have spent hundreds of dollars on iPhone apps, and if you're going to keep using those, you don't want to start over on Android. Well, you're going to have to stick with iPhone. There's some lock-in, isn't there? You've got iTunes. On the other hand, I just think Android phones get better and better and better and advance in many ways. In fact, you know how we know this? Because Apple's suing to keep these phones off the market. Apple's scared. Apple knows they're better. 8888, ask Leo. Let's go to the phones. Alexis is in Georgia. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Alexis.
How's it going, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I have a quick question, probably a fairly basic question. I have an older Toshiba laptop that came with Vista on it, bought it around 2008. Somehow the disk is being corrupted. Like when I try to boot it up, it asks me if I want to recover. There never was a recovery partition to so I can't do that.
I hate it.
I'm wondering is, can I get the Vista installation off there and either reinstall Vista or install Windows 7?
Yeah, so the first thing you want to do is verify. Probably the hard drive's starting to flake out. Now, hard drive failure can be permanent or temporary. It could be that there's some physical damage to the disk. Or it could just be the disk, you know, it's a magnetic medium. Maybe a cosmic ray hit it or a big magnet and some data is lost. And so it's saying, hey, I can't get that key bit that I need, just isn't there. And it could be one bit out of a quadrillion bits. So here's what I like to do. If you're getting these kinds of errors, and they happen inevitably, this is the single most common cause for computer failure is hard drive, either corruption or failure. First thing it's nice to do is to test the hard drive and then reinstall the operating system. Now, unfortunately, There's really only one program for testing hard drives, and it's $90, which is more than a new hard drive. So it's hard to recommend this. It's called SpinRite. My good friend writes at grc.com, Steve Gibson, SpinRite. So if, you know, if it were me, I have a copy. I already bought a copy many years ago, SpinRite. If it were me, I would take SpinRite. I would test the drive. SpinRite, what SpinRite does is it finds bad sectors, areas of the drive that have gone bad for whatever reason, marks them unusable, moves the data off, and generally speaking, even though it may take hours, days, sometimes weeks or months to do this, once it's done, the drive is usable again. And then you would reinstall Vista or go to Windows 7 if you wanted to. This is a good opportunity to do that. But that's so much time and money, Alexis. Unless you have this, like you're a computer shop, it might be better just to buy a new hard drive. They're not expensive. How big is that hard drive?
It's about 250 gigs. Not all that big.
Yeah, so you could get a 2 terabyte hard drive. Get a terabyte. Don't go crazy. Don't go wild. Get a terabyte hard drive for 80 or 90 bucks.
Okay.
And put it. Is it a laptop or desktop?
It's a laptop, Toshiba laptop.
Okay, so you want to make sure that you can update the hard drive. So you know, a lot of Toshiba laptops, if you look underneath, there's a little porthole with 4 screws. You remove that, and there's your hard drive. If that's the case, pop it out, put in the next one. And, you know, in most cases, because hard drives have gotten so cheap, it's just better to do that. The fact that you're getting this corruption means there's something wrong. The other thing you could do, and this, if it's not a critical, you know, mission-critical computer, like it's not the end of the world if you have another problem with it. The other thing you could simply do is, and this actually works 90% of the time, format the drive. I hope you have a Windows install disk. If you don't, you know, get a Windows 7 disk. You might as well get a new one. Format the drive and do a repartition format. When there's a format, I think they still give you the chance to do kind of a low-level format, not just kind of wipe out the catalog and start over again. Do a low-level, rewrite the whole disk. That often will map out bad sectors, and then just on top of it put, and that may fix it. That may fix it. In fact, most of the time that does. So that's what I would do, Alexis. And then if you still have problems, then you could buy a new hard drive. But the thing is, if you do this all the time, that's when you go out and you buy SpinRite. That's why most shops have SpinRite and so forth, because it is, in the long run, you know, better to fix the drive that way. Good luck, Alexis. Beth in Florida, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi.
Hey, Beth.
I've been doing some research on my part, what I can do. I have a regular old cell phone right now, and I was interested in getting an Apple iPhone, but then I spotted the HTC Evo C, the 4G, and absolutely fell in love with it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, it's gorgeous. My question is it compatible with Apple laptops?
Well, I use an Android phone. The Evo is an Android phone. I use an Android phone. Compatible, yes. You won't be able to, you know, sync iTunes, but I'll tell. This is a good question. When we come back, let me talk about what Android users need to do if you still use a Mac. I saw your path picture, Dr. Mom. I don't think that red looks so bad. I think you get used to it. Oh, this is the same thing. They're all glossy backs because it's a glossy, you know, piano finish plastic. I thought the red looked gorgeous. I really liked it. I thought it was pretty. Pretty, pretty. The Evo V is weird because it's that glasses-free 3D, which is so strange. But yeah, I think you get used to the shiny back. Yeah, brushed metal would be nice. Although the reason they're not using metal is the reason Apple, you know, is going to plastic, too, is because the antenna doesn't work as well. I am watching, are we DirecTV or Dish? I think we're DirecTV here. And I have Comcast at home. Because I live in an apartment and I didn't want to put up a Dish. I didn't know where I'd put the Dish. But the apartment was already wired for Comcast. So they didn't even have to come into the apartment. They just flip a switch. Yeah, oh, that's right. NFC won't work through metal. You're absolutely right. Yeah. How do you watch Olympics online when you don't have a TV? See, that's the problem, is that NBCOlympics.com requires not merely that you have a TV, but that you have a cable or satellite subscription. That seems to me, I mean, what if you, look, I don't need a cable. I live in a city and I can get the Olympics just fine on Channel 8 or whatever. Then what do you do?
Oh, sorry. I can't watch it. You got to pay for cable.
With a cable, satellite, or telco TV subscription that includes MSNBC and CNBC, you'll have access. Oh, that's why. They won't let you watch the streams if you don't have their cable channels. No, I'll tell you really why. Because the cable companies are in a death throw. You know, they always say the worst thing to do, the most dangerous animal in the world is one, as a cornered one. So who's cornered right now? The cable companies and the satellite companies. They're desperate. The internet's killing them, they think. They're some idiots. But so what they're doing is they're saying to the content companies, hey, if you want us to continue to carry us, you have to protect us. You cannot put your content on the internet. That's why Discovery bought Revision 3, because they can't put any of this. They have a very limited amount of Discovery content they can put online, or the cable companies will go, N-n-n-n-n-n. It's usually in their contracts. It was a Tech TV. We could only put 10 minutes per show online. Now, the other way they fight this is by buying content companies, like, let's say, Cabletown buying NBC. So that's even worse, right? Because Comcast owns NBC. Oh, they're so loathsome. So loathsome. Google Voice is great on an Android phone. Google Voice is so much better on an Android phone than it is on an iPhone. That's one of the compelling reasons to use an Android phone, is Google Voice becomes the answering machine. It's tightly integrated into the all Android phones. So that's if you use Google Voice, then you probably should go Android. What does Gizmodo say? Get a VPN? In 1996, 176 hours of the Olympics were broadcast in the USA. This year, 5,535 hours. Great question. Great question. Beth in Florida saw the Sprint Evo V, the 3D phone, and she fell in love with it. Now, she's wondering, though, I'm a Mac user, she says, how does Android work with the Mac? And it works just fine in my experience, but here's what you'll kind of want to do, and I think you want to do this even if you're using an iPhone. First of all, you'll want to use Google for your calendar, address book, and even I would suggest Google Voice for your voicemail, and have that all tied into the phone. That way, if you've got all your addresses in Apple's address book or all your calendar appointments in Apple's iCal or calendar, then it's not going to sync to the Android phone. But the good news is Apple lets you sync to Google. So what you do is you go into iCal, calendar, on the new Mountain Lion just calls it calendar. You go into the address book, and in there in the settings you can say, sync with my Google account. So that's going to move everything to your Google account. If you don't have a Google account, a Gmail account, then you'll have to create one, but those are free. And now everything syncs up.
Yeah, what I like about it is that it's 3G and 4G.
Right.
I'm about 60 miles north of Tampa, and we have 3G. And all my coworkers seem to be buying 4G. I'm like, what are you buying 4G? We don't even have it up here yet.
Well, that's a good point, and that's partly because of the advertising, right? I don't have 4G where I live, and I don't care. So, for instance, the current iPhone is not 4G, but I don't care. I have the Samsung Galaxy S3 that I use is the European unlocked model. It doesn't have 4G either, but the advantage is it has a quad-core processor, whereas the U.S. versions of this phone only have dual cores so that they can support 4G. 4G is great if you can get it. It does tend to kill battery life. That's something that still has to be solved. And 3G is in most cases fast enough, unless you're watching movies or something like that. For email, for...
I, I don't really do a whole lot of that at the time because my phone that I have now doesn't do that.
Right. And you may find that you end up doing some of that, but because of bandwidth caps, if you're on 4G, you go through 2 or 3 gigs so fast that you probably won't. That's not going to change your behavior. For what I do, for what most people do on a smartphone, 3G is plenty fast enough. In fact, you kind of hope that you're in a 4G area because then everybody moves to 4G and gets off the 3G spectrum. And suddenly 3G, believe it or not, can even be faster than 4G because nobody's using it.
Yeah.
But to answer your original question, a Mac is just fine. Now, here's the one thing that's a little different, the biggest difference. On an iPhone, you use iTunes. You buy music in iTunes. You either do it on the phone or you do it on your desktop. You sync it up. iTunes becomes how you connect your phone to your computer. Of course, you can't do that with a Samsung or, I'm sorry, an Android phone. Most of them are Samsung these days. This Sprint Evo is a HTC phone. Really nice phone. So in that case, how do you sync? Well, there is a great program, free program I like a lot called Double Twist that you put on both your desktop and your phone, and it acts just like iTunes. In fact, Double Twist does some nice things that only recently Apple started doing, like synchronizing over Wi-Fi. You don't even have to connect the phone up. I do not find it any disadvantage. I don't find any disadvantage at all to using an Android phone, and I'm a Mac guy everywhere, and it's no problem. No problem at all. You know, if you're really tied into the iTunes universe, for instance, iTunes Match, well, that doesn't work on Android phones. So there are reasons you might want to stay with an iPhone. iTunes Match is a big one, probably. But not for contacts, calendar, address book. The beauty is now almost any smartphone you get will synchronize with Google, so you might as well just keep your stuff on Google. Unless you have, you know, unless you've decided, oh, I hate Google, I don't trust them, keep your stuff on Google. And then that way, whenever you get a new phone, it's so great. I get new phones every month, right? Because I always test new phones. I log on to my Google account, and boom, the phone's full. It's got all the apps on it. That's another nice feature. It's like the Apple phone. It just all the apps restore and everything. It's really kind of nice. So I don't have any problem at all using Android. So that's not on a Mac. That's not going to be the deciding factor. It's true that the current iPhones do not support 4G. So if you did want LTE, if you did want that high-speed data, well, then you might want to get an Android phone. Or wait, because I figure the next iPhone probably will. We don't know, but I figure the next iPhone probably will. Use Amazon for music, works great on Android. Use Google for music, works great on Android. I'm actually quite happy. So, Beth, if you fell in love with that phone, as you said you did, go get it. Go get it. Lorenzo, New Jersey, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Lorenzo.
Hi, Leo. It's only taken 20 years for me to finally talk to you after watching you.
20 years?
Back in the Sarah Lane and Kevin Rose early days.
Ah, yes. So, yeah, they've all gone on to bigger and better things, haven't they?
Well, yes, they joined you.
Kevin's doing better. Kevin just bought an Aston Martin. I think he's doing better. What can I do? That we're talking about the old days of Tech TV. Kevin is so funny. He was an IT guy at Tech TV, and he found a glaring bug, a security flaw in Microsoft Windows. Brought it to us and said, "Hey, you know, this is look at this." And we contacted Microsoft. They said, "That's not a bug. It's a feature." So I said, "Kevin, why don't you come on the show and show us?" And that was the beginning. And then became a TV star. Then he started Dig. Was on the cover of Business Week as a $60 million kid. Then now he's at Google Ventures and he's driving an Aston Martin. And here I am, still showing you how to install Windows, and I love it. So what can I do for you, Lorenzo?
So I'm a designer, and I'm one of those guys who takes an OS system and waits about 15 years before I upgrade.
You know, if you use computers for work, there's a good, compelling argument to do that. You don't want to mess with it.
With Photoshop and Illustrator. I worry a lot about that stuff. But I went, I was on Snow Leopard, and last night, almost like sitting at the cashier and just buying something right there.
You couldn't resist, could you? You pressed the button, didn't you?
I sure did. So I'm 12 hours into it, and... Knock on wood, thankfully, no issues at all with Good. Photoshop, Illustrator, Mail takes a little bit getting used to because it's, I guess they're trying to drive it more like the iPad and what the iPhone looks like.
Yeah, you're going to see a big jump from Snow Leopard to Mountain Lion is going to be a significant leap because just like Lion, a lot of things want to be full screen, kind of like a tablet. Those gestures, you get once you get used to the gestures, if you have a trackpad of sliding back and forth from full screen to full screen, it's you start to get used to it. It's actually not too bad. I kind of like it. You have these, it's for the first time I've started to use the Spaces desktops. So you might have Photoshop in one desktop. You might have Illustrator in another desktop, your browser in a third, your mail in a fourth. They're all full screen, just like on a tablet, and you just slide back and forth. That's kind of cool.
Designers can never have enough apps open for some reason.
Yeah. Do you have two? Do you have dual screens?
I have. I have three screens actually. But yeah.
Do you have triple screens? That's the other thing. Designers love multiple screens, right? The more real estate, the better.
And I have Twit on my Roku, on my TV, going 24 hours a day.
Good man! Lorenzo, I love you, baby! That's great.
And I've been in the chat room, so I'm totally a veteran of the Twit network.
Well, thank you.
I have one final question, if I could. I host a podcast. And in iTunes, for some reason, it doesn't show all my episodes. I'm up to about 25, 30. And I can't get it to show all the episodes. It just shows the most, like, 7 or 8 recent ones. Is that an iTunes thing? Is it something I'm doing?
Well, if you've downloaded them, they should show up. And so if you have downloaded every episode of, let's say, this show, which is on its 896th episode, let's say you started on day one, you should have, if you haven't deleted them, 896 episodes in your library. But if you're talking about undownloaded episodes, we at Twit, we only list the last 10. And I'll tell you why in a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Actually, I'll tell you why right now. I get this from time to time. Why don't you list all your episodes? And because the file sizes get unmanageably large, and so I'll explain a
summertime
little bit to you. So
let
me show you here.
Don't take a
in iTunes. We'll go to the iTunes store. Boy, I can't wait till they separate out. I thought they might do it in line, but they haven't separate out podcasts into their own app. But here you are. You're in podcasts, and let's go find the Twit podcast here. So we'll go to our twit.tv page, and the new show. No How's not a good example because they only have 4 shows. Tech News Today. Now this one we list 12. I don't know why 12, but the normal default is 10. But there are many more episodes. So this is episode 552. There could be 500. But this information comes from what's called an RSS feed, a text file. I can actually show you the text file if you want. But it's an XML text file that contains the information about each show. So each show adds to the size of the file. This file already is probably, I don't know, 10, 15K. So multiply that times, let's say, 20. Now you've got a quarter of a megabyte download. And you download this, iTunes downloads this several times a day for each person. So let's say each listener is downloading a megabyte. That's a considerable amount of bandwidth. So we have 50,000 listeners to Tech News Today. That's 50,000 subscribers, I should say, Tech News Today. That's 50,000 megabytes a day. And so it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so almost no podcasts. There are a few, I guess. Somebody said that Joe Rogan's podcast has all the episodes. But very few podcasts list more than, this one's doing 20, more than, and that's just because this is what an RSS feed is intended to be. It's not intended to be every show ever. It's intended to be the most recent shows. But you can always, on any show, go to twit.tv. And if you want all of the Tech News Todays, they're all on the website. So, you know, the website doesn't have to send out a long long RSS feed. You just keep going back in time, right? There's all the episodes are on here. So you can put an individual episode number in. You'll notice, actually, there's a standard naming convention for episodes. So, you know, these
You can see all the episodes if you want. We put them all there. And so that way it's better. That way you don't have to... let's see, we go all the way up to episode 1 of TNT. Or episode 0, apparently. So... I think that that's the way to do it. We keep archives on the website. So you every episode is on the website. But the feed is really not designed to be an archive of all the shows. The feed is designed merely to have the most recent shows so you can subscribe. And really what a podcast is about is you subscribe and you'll get the new shows. You don't want these giant text files being downloaded all the time. And some clients download more, you know, every 10 minutes. 4 times a day is actually not much. Oh, don't worry, Padre SJ. We'll get a Raspberry Pi. How's DEF CON going? You want to call in and talk about DEF CON? If you've got anything to say, I'd love to talk to you, Padre.
Okay, Leo, I know this is your favorite song. Library Carbonite here.
All right, you got it.
Race. Life's a race. I'm gonna win.
I'm gonna lose.
I'm gonna win.
Cause I'm no athlete.
I'll light the fuse.
But I would like to be there. Cause it's a big party.
I choose to survive.
And we can all watch it.
Whatever it takes.
On the internet. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's the official Olympic song. I never heard that. They never played that at the opening. So I question whether it really is the official song of the 2012 London Olympics. Muse. Am I wrong, Kyle? Did they play that at the opening ceremonies? Did they ever play that? No.
We did.
Hey Jude. That could be the official song. Not that. I'm going to win because I am a singer. So we were talking to Lorenzo in New Jersey, and Lorenzo's in the chat room, so I kind of explained in more detail why we don't make our feeds ginormous. It really comes down to, and you know, this is so ill understood. It's one of the reasons I hate the idea, the name, the word podcast. I just don't like it. All of the things I do, including this show, are available for free on the internet as downloads. We put shows online. If you would like to make sure that you get the episodes automatically, you can go into iTunes. There's a link at techguylabs.com and subscribe. And what that, you know, that's a little bit confusing because it implies maybe that you're paying money. You're not. But when you click the subscribe button, oh, good. This is nice. iTunes, finally, they've changed that subscribe to subscribe free. Thank you. I didn't notice that. So if you want to subscribe, you just press the subscribe button. And all that does is it tells iTunes when a new show comes out, download it. But this list of shows in iTunes, of undownloaded shows in iTunes, was never intended to be complete. It's not the archive of all shows. It's really a subscription feed so you can get new shows. And as a courtesy, we put a few back episodes. If you're new to the show, you can go back. You can always go to our Twit website or, you know, any podcast website generally and get all the previous episodes. That's what I recommend. However... it just doesn't make sense to put it in the feed. But I understand this confusion. Because nobody even understands what podcasting is. So, really, I do shows. Some of the shows are on the radio, like this show. All of the shows are on the internet, like this show. You can download these shows at any time from our internet site, twit.tv. You can also, if you choose... And this is where podcasting comes in. Subscribe in iTunes or the Zune Play or whatever. You can subscribe to a show, and then it automatically gets downloaded when there's a new one. There's some very well-known podcasts, like This American Life, that they only put one show in their feed, the current one. That's it. which I think means that it's one of the reasons they're always on the top is because people just keep resubscribing, thinking they have to subscribe each time. You don't. Subscribe once. I hope that helps, Lorenzo. And I am very grateful that you're a listener to the network. Coming up, Lee in Mission Viejo.
wants to know about watching the Olympics online. I think this is a really good question, and I'm going to talk about what you can do to consume the Olympics online. It's kind of interesting. The 1996 Olympics, there were several hundred hours of content online. For this Olympics, the 2012 London Olympics, let me get the number here because it's a lot larger. In 1996, 176 hours online. No, I'm sorry. Oh, I take it back. 176 hours broadcast. There was nothing online in 96. This year, 5,535 hours, including the internet. If you are an Olympic buff, I don't even know if you could watch 5,535 hours in 12 days or 14 days. I don't think you could. We'll talk about, though, if you want to see a particular thing, what it is you need to do in just a second. All right, Lee is in Mission Viejo. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Leo. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great. So have you watched the Olympics so far? Have you been watching? Can you hear me?
Leo?
Yes? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you, but can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay.
Okay. We are on a bud.
I see. There's something wrong with her phone. I don't know what it is. It keeps coming and going. I'm going to project into her mind what I think she's going to ask, which is, we are on a budget. We want to watch the Olympics. Perhaps you don't have. Now, here's the deal. Here's the official way to do it. NBCOlympics.com. If you live in Mission Viejo, you can get all the, Olympics through NBC that they broadcast because it's over the air. It's free. You just got an antenna and boom, you got it. But what about all the stuff that they're putting on MSNBC or CNBC or the internet? How do you get that? Well, this is what NBC's doing. Now, remember, they spent lots of money for the rights to this, so they got to recoup their money. It says, if you go to NBCOlympics.com, with a cable, satellite, or telco TV subscription that includes MSNBC and CNBC, then you can watch everything online. In other words, if you've already paid for it through a cable subscription, if you're just watching over the air, sorry, you're out of luck. Because the first thing you have to do is you click a button and it says, okay, who's your cable company? Who's your daddy? And if you don't have one, and you're not paying for, or you're not paying for MSNBC or CNBC, sorry, you're out of luck. All right, so I'm going to send you to a good article on Gizmodo.com. How to watch, you could Google this, Gizmodo, Gizmodo, and how to watch every second of the Olympics. Brent Rose wrote this article, and he starts out, this is for U.S. listeners, obviously. He starts out, if you have cable, and tells you what I just told you, NBCOlympics.com. If you have an iOS or Android device, there are some great apps. There's the NBC Live Extra app that lets you watch, even get the rewind and alternate angles. So those apps, there's three or four NBC apps. Those are great. Put those on your iPad if you've got that. But you have to pay for MSNBC and CNBC on cable or satellite or telco. If you don't have cable, then you're going to have to be a little sneaky. In the UK, BBC, which owns the rights to the Olympics in the UK, is putting the entire thing online free. You don't have to have an account of any kind. And that's because the BBC is subsidized by the British government by license fees for televisions. If you have a television, you're paying for the BBC. So, Gizmodo, and this is fairly complicated. I'm not going to go into it on the air. Probably also highly illegal. They talk about using something called a proxy to pretend you're in the UK. This is a little tricky because, frankly, proxies tend to slow things down. You want to watch streaming video, and it's not going to look that great. YouTube. And then, finally, pirated streams. And they got a list of at least five. I'll put a link in the show notes. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I think that we should just forget it. Yeah, there's a subsidy, Lone Ranger. You have to buy, unless they change this, you have to buy a license for your television in the UK, which is essentially a tax on TV. And that money goes to the BBC, am I not right?
So happy. We'd already moved our business to the cloud, so when Russell, my IT guy, said, let's put our phone system in the cloud, it was a no-brainer.
I love watching the Olympics, I have to admit. But the truth is, what's on NBC is sufficient.
Per month per user. Start right now.
For me. I mean, how many hours can you watch? I did cry when the Dutch girl won the bike race. You know, I did. I cry. That's what I don't like about the Olympics. I'm always crying. She's so happy. What were you going to... Harry McCracken, Dwight Silverman, and Ray Ked. OS back. OS Ked.
Or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. That's nopiracy.org. Or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. And you can also go online and search No Piracy.
Let the developers know? Because the Twit app on Mac now just says null at the top.
Craig, is Houdini7 in the chat room? So, somebody should just email. Do we not have...
I don't. Call him, Mike.
So, what we've done is we've made that... twit.tv/cal and twit.tv/ something else be will always point to it, and they should just use that.
From Premier Radio Network, respond to the email thread, tell them the problem is, and call in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but and now, because it's on a separate account, I don't think it'll ever get munged up again. God, I only hope so. Our calendar got really screwed up. Not by me. Well, it was by me, but indirectly by me. My Nexus 7 has become my chess playing buddy. That's how I play chess now.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7.
Oh, we have a Najdo Sicilian. That's a very exciting opening. I'm not going to make a move yet. What's the other game? Oh, he's made a move. I don't know. I do it 4 or 5. Why not? I like the Sicilian, but I don't want to play all Sicilians, huh? It's too much. Too many Sicilians. Really? That's funny, Padre. This is chess.com. There's a couple of chess games, but my favorite is chess.com. It's not the best looking, although it's, you know, it's adequate. What I like about it is it has a couple of nice things. It's got a pretty good complement of, you know, the players are all right. And I'm playing a kind of, in effect, correspondence chess. So you have to think they have 3 days to move. You can set the time limit when if you create a new game. But it's fun this way. It's very fun. Oh, should I go Najdorf? What should I do? Should I go Najdorf? All right, let's do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do A6. That makes it to Najdorf. It's a very exciting move. It's very, very exciting. But I don't know if I should do it or not. Should I? All right, I'm going to. I'm going to be brave. So I try to keep 5 games going at once. I'm doing pretty well. Let me see. So you can make... Oh, look at all these challenges. People are challenging me. So I'm doing pretty well. I think I'm 7-1. Now I'm 7-1. I lost. The one I lost was a blunder because I was playing on my iPhone. It was so small I didn't notice they hit a queen way over here. And I had a dead one game, and I just blundered away the game. So I should be 9-0, but it's all right. It's all right. So you can play online. I like this tactics trainer. This is kind of fun. So it gives you positions, and then it has a little timer, and you get more points the quicker you solve the position. So this is interesting. I think that's a good move here, right? Just, I noticed this bishop is kind of skewering there over there. Just seems like there should be a mate, like maybe that's a mate, right? Yeah, it is a mate. Oh, well, very good. Very good. Now he's threatening my bishop. My salad, thank you, Mathieu. Merci beaucoup, monsieur. So, I'm not a champion. I used to be okay, and now I am a very rusty. But it's fun. I like chess. So you can play the computer. But you do have to pay. I pay $50 a year for this, for chess.com. It's like the ICC. The ICC also has an app. The International Chess Club. It also has an app. But this one's good for, like, playing Blitz. So if you want to play live chess, I recommend the ICC. If you want to play they don't have a correspondence chess style chess. And that's what I mostly do. Like Words with Friends, where you have, and you set the time limit. So if you create a game, you get to choose. I play white or black, days per move, and you could choose anywhere. Whoops. Choose anywhere from 1 day to 14 days. So, you know, it's like correspondence chess. I usually do 1 day. You could say, I only want to play people who are, you know, say 1,400 or above, but I don't want to play anybody who's a master, so I'll keep it on. So you get to set up a challenge like that. And then what happens is so these people have all challenged. I have challenges open that people are challenging me, but I try not to play more than 5 games. I got 6 going at the same time. Battery life on this is pretty good. And it's perfect for chess. It's just the right size. You know, the phone is a little small. This is just the right size. It's just like a little pocket board. iPad is a little bigger and doesn't need to be so big. This is just right. We'll begin at 6 minutes past the hour. Funplex Girl, there are lots of ways to learn. There's probably even YouTube. There's a lot of YouTube videos. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Did you need anything, darling? Oh, my God, there's people. There's people coming in. Why do you always wait till we're actually on the air before you lead them in? Yeah, lead them in during break. Yeah, now. Go, go, go. During break's the best time. But, like, the break is, like, ending now. Hello. How are you? Good to see you. Welcome. Where are you guys from? Petaluma? So do you even know what we're doing here? Okay. Well, a good day to you. Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, and it's time to talk about, computers, cell phones, home theater, all that jazz, digital photography. In fact, our digital photo guy, Chris Marquardt, joins us at 33 after the hour to talk photography. And I wonder, maybe is it time to wrap up our assignment, or do we have a few more weeks left on that? Well, we'll find out. Meanwhile, if you'd like to call me, 8888-ASK-LEO. We've been talking about the Olympics, how to watch online legally and illegally. Things like that. Things like that. 8888-ASK-LEO. 888-827-5536. You could also visit our website. Last day, literally the last day of the old site. The new site goes up on Wednesday, and by next weekend will be probably most of the bugs will be gone. TechGuyLabs.com. So if you want to see what websites used to look like in the mid-90s, it's kind of embarrassing. TechGuyLabs.com. Hey, this is episode 896. All 896 episodes are there. But the new site is beautiful. It's functional. We're going to have a lot more fun with it. So I invite you to hang in there, and we'll go to the new Tech Guy site starting next weekend. By the way, it'll happen automatically. TechGuyLabs.com. To the phones we go. Esten is in Kansas. Hi, Esten. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Good afternoon. I have a person who lives in very rural Kansas, and the only cell phone carrier that works in his area is U.S. Cellular.
Okay.
And it doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
AT&T works not at all. Verizon doesn't work very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a function of where they have cell sites and where there is very thin population. You notice we don't get great cell coverage. We don't get cable television. We don't get internet service because it just wasn't financially rewarding for them to wire it up. In fact, you wouldn't have electricity if it hadn't been for the federal government during the Great Depression and the rural electrification projects. Industry is not going to make money when there's only 2 people per square mile.
Correct.
So he's kind of out of luck.
They don't have internet at their house. yeah. even.
So, right.
They're trying to get their kid, who's about 14 or 15, an iPhone, because he's visually impaired, and we want to get him an iPhone. But with U.S. Cellular, you can't get an iPhone because they're not on there.
Right.
The iPhone's not on there.
So you're out of luck.
Is there any way to do that? No.
No. What you should get him is an iPod Touch or an iPad. In fact, if he's visually impaired, he'd probably do better with a larger screen, an iPad.
He already has an iPad.
Okay. Then there's no point. You're not. If what you're looking for is phone service, you can only get what U.S. Cellular offers, period.
Huh.
And that's and the best phones they offer are, frankly, Android phones. They have at least decent Android phones like the Samsung Galaxy S3. In fact, I think you might look at that. Is it the phone capability that they're looking for, Eston?
Yeah, it's the phone capability. Yeah. What about getting an unlocked iPhone and putting it on the U.S. Cellular network? Would that work?
No, you can't. It's a CDMA network.
Okay.
So you have to get the cooperation of U.S. Cellular. If it were a GSM network, I think it is. Let me ask the chat room. It's CDMA, is it not?
Yeah, it's CDMA.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's two standards in the U.S. There's CDMA, which is the old standard, and in fact is mostly just in the U.S., and GSM, which is mostly used worldwide. GSM is the one that has a little SIM card. So your idea would be fine. If you were in a GSM carrier's area, you could buy an unlocked iPhone. Apple sells them. Pop in a SIM card for that carrier. You're golden. But because U.S. Cellular is CDMA, there's no SIM card. So what it has to be programmed. Now, one thing you could do, well, no. See, there. I don't think you can get an unlocked CDMA phone anyway. It's iPhone anyway.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd call and ask.
Yeah. Sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings. You know, you might look at the Galaxy S3. That is a great phone. It's a phone. It's the phone I use, and I can choose from any phone because I have all four carriers here, and I don't use an iPhone. He really likes the i stuff.
He has a lot of the iOS stuff, and I also have an iPhone, and I would be doing most of the support for him. And so, if we got him an Android phone, then I'd have to figure out a different way. And this family is not one that would be on the forums and that kind of stuff. They're pretty much find one person who knows a lot and stick with them. So.
I'm sorry. Bad news.
No, I kind of figured that was going to be your answer. So, well, thank you anyway.
You're welcome. You know, a lot of ways people go is to put a Skype or a Tango or one of the voiceover internet services. If you've got internet, I mean, they don't even have internet out there. But if you had internet access, you could take a device that doesn't have phone capability, put one of these voiceover the internet programs on here. I have this is the I'm holding in my hands. I know you can't see it, but I'm holding in my hands the new Nexus 7 tablet from Google. That's an Android tablet. Doesn't have phone capability. In fact, it only has Wi-Fi. But with Skype on here, I can make phone calls. In fact, I can make video calls to other Skypes. And Skype has this Skype out capability, lets you call regular numbers and so forth. So I can make phone calls. Receiving incoming calls requires me to pay some additional money to Skype for a landline number, but it works. It works. So I'm sorry. This is a real problem with being in the rural area. It's one of the reasons the FCC is starting to look at a broadband plan that includes government support for rural internetification. The Tennessee Valley Authority, remember all of the projects? Well, you don't. I don't either. I'm not that old. Close. But all the projects during the Depression to electrify rural areas, those rural areas, no business would go in there. You've got to string wires for one person? You're going to string hundreds and hundreds of feet away? No. Put up telephone poles for one person? No. But the government did it. And that's why almost every home in the United States has access to electricity, cheap electricity. And I think it's very important. The internet may be not as important as electricity, but it's getting to be pretty important. And I think the access to the internet getting to be more and more important. And as that happens, I think that you start to look at, well, what do we do? How do we make it possible? There are, the good news is, unlike electricity, there are good wireless solutions for internet that might work well in rural areas. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the number. Michael, Woodside, Queens, New York. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, I've been watching now for about 2 years. I'm going to build a desktop computer, which I'm going to use for flight simulation programs. And I also have a Toshiba laptop. Now, I'm on a budget, and I'm going to buy Windows 7 OEM disk. Can I put that, can I put Windows 7 using that one disk on both my computers, the new one I'm going to build and my old Toshiba?
Microsoft would say no, and I would say you probably will have a problem, because what happens now, Microsoft has not one but two anti-piracy technologies. They've got they've got the Windows Genuine Advantage, they've got activation. So what happens is you, when you install it, you're given 30 days to put in a serial number, then it goes online and activates it. It will not activate it for two different machines, but there is a loophole. It's a little more expensive, but if you're doing for two machines, it might be break even. Three machines is probably a good idea. It's called TechNet. It's a Microsoft project for developers. You pay a one-time fee. I think it's $249 a year, and you get as many copies of Windows as you need as a developer. So that's another way to do it. But frankly, Microsoft doesn't want you to install Windows on two different machines, and so they go to great ends not to do so. By the way, TechNet is a yearly subscription, just so you know. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You mean I gotta pay for Windows? Oh, man. I'm on a budget here. I love it, I love it, I love it. The tech guy here for the last 9 months.
I gotta wonder if he's on a budget, why he's building his own computer.
Maybe he has a lot of parts lying around.
I've got 25 employees.
So I saw a number of people say, oh, he could get Virgin. No, the guy was very clear. I can only get U.S. Cellular. That's it. Nobody else. Just so you know.
Business line to call on from their smartphone. The 800 number.
Yeah, you get 10 activations.
It's RingCentral, the ultimate
TechNet
cloud phone system.
Everybody's saying, well, he should just get Virgin Mobile. No, he couldn't get Virgin Mobile. He can't get Sprint. He can get U.S. Cellular. That's it.
Once we tried it, we loved it. I customize all my call handling.
Is the family pack still available?
In her email, we can even get our fax messages right on our smartphones. And with RingCentral, there's zero startup.
CTV. So you're watching a live stream of Britain and the Emirates.
Pricing as low as $20 a month.
Footy versus via CTV. But are you doing on a proxy, or does CTV just let you watch even in the U.S. or in, maybe you're in Canada and just showing off? So you all from Petaluma?
Me and my wife live in L.A.
Ah.
I've been the big fan.
So you dragged these guys here. Saying, you don't know it, but in Petaluma, there's something interesting going on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For a long time. Yeah. In the 80s. Mid-80s. It was 80... let's say 87 through 92, something like that. Yup. And then I was on KGO and KSFO. And then I got off the radio. And then I was on KGO again via this show. Now I'm on News Talk 910. So we're in L.A.?
We're in Westlake.
Awesome. That's great. Is this family? Are you visiting family?
Mom, Dad.
Oh, that's nice. That's great. Oh, so you literally grew up here. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. My kids grew up here, too. That's why we moved here. It's just a great place to grow up. Tunnels was here. Wasn't next door. It was next door and here. In fact, yeah. Remember there was that ramp down and there was an arch there? That ramp was right there. Pharmacy was over there. This was, I think there were cash registers here. The Beanie Babies were over here. This is where I bought the Beanie Babies. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So this was, in fact, if you go in the basement, they still have their inventory system. There's a conveyor belt in the back that goes, there's a roll-up door in the back to the alley. And a conveyor belt that goes down in the basement. And they had rollers all through the basement. We moved them all aside, but we still have them. Where they would just, all the boxes would be stored down there. And they put them on the rollers and they could put them up and down on the conveyor. So 60 years this was Tuttle's. Yeah, before that it was a furniture factory. I know, it's kind of fun. It was Tuttle's when we moved here 20 years ago. Yeah. Where do you live now? But I mean, around here?
On Bassett Street.
Bassett. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, over by the City Hall. PlayStation. Oh, police station. City Hall was the police station. I didn't know that. I guess I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, come on in. Oh, I've had too much coffee. Smoke Walker, I haven't tried it, but there is Bluetooth on this, so I see no reason why you wouldn't be able to use a Bluetooth headset. Absolutely. Google has decided for some reason that I'm a Minnesota Twins fan. So there's this thing in the in Jelly Bean called Google Now. Google Now, where it kind of gives you stuff it thinks you're interested in. So recent searches, weather, calendar, and it thinks I'm a Twins fan. I have been drinking way too much coffee, so if I talk a little bit fast, don't mind me. It's just because all that coffee's coursing through my veins and keeping me from slowing down. But I'll try to make every effort to speak slowly and carefully so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. No, I'm not. I promise I won't talk like that. You know, I'm reading a great biography about Walter Cronkite. It's great, great, fascinating fella. And early on in his career, he trained himself to speak at 120 words a minute. 120 words a minute. It's very slow. But exactly how he spoke. But I'm going to try to do that now. Casey, Clovis, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I failed. Hey, Casey. Hey, Casey!
Ho-ho!
Ho-ho!
For being on your show, I tell you what.
I bet you Walter Cronkite, nobody ever said hello to Walter that way. See, that's good. I like it.
You're not the only one that's had coffee. on the real, though, I recently started getting back into PC gaming. You know, I took a long break from it. My computer, you know, I had blow off the dust on my CPU and start over here.
Me too. What was the game that got you back into PC gaming?
Oh, my gosh, Leo. If you haven't tried it, you're going to have to try it now. It's called DayZ.
Oh, I don't know that. D-A...
D-A-Y and Z with... It's a mod from a game called Arma 2. For those of you that don't really know, what you have to do is you have to get Arma 2 and Arma 2's expansion called Arma 2 Operation Arrowhead. And what that is, that's basically a huge, huge multiplayer, kind of almost like a free roam. But in anyway, they took that game and they modded it further to make it so that it's a zombie apocalypse.
I'm ready, baby! You know, it's funny. You know what got me back into PC gaming? First, it was Skyrim, which I really enjoyed because I enjoyed fighting the dragons. And then, of course, I'd been waiting for 10 years for Diablo 3, and so I had to play that. But I'm ready for a new one.
I kind of heard mixed results on Diablo 3.
Well, you have to be a Diablo fan. It's just more Diablo, you know. The thing about it's very interesting. I think we're starting to see a resurgence. Well, maybe there never was a drop-off on PC gaming, but I feel as if PC gaming is getting more attention now for a couple of reasons. Steam is a big one. Valve has done a great job with that. But also, the consoles have not been updated in many years now, right? So what you've got is kind of stagnation on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. And certainly with the Nintendo Wii, they've kind of hit the ceiling of what they can do with those things. Meanwhile, PCs get faster, more powerful. The graphics cards are mind-boggling. And so PCs have really leapfrogged console games, and I think more and more people are saying, you know, I want the latest. I want the greatest. I want the best. And they go back to PC gaming.
Yeah, that's and you know, this game here. So I started it up, and my specs were all up to it. You know, I had 2.6 gigahertz processor, dual core. I had 3 gigs of RAM. You know, which is pretty substandard, but it's still able to play it pretty well. However, I started to play it. I downloaded it, everything, worked out just fine. And my problem was that I think it's my graphic, my video card.
Yeah.
My video card was a is an NVIDIA 6150.
Yeah, that's pretty old. Yeah. You probably can upgrade it. What kind? You said you have a Intel processor, Core Duo, maybe.
It's Core Duo. It's an NVIDIA.
So the problem is you can upgrade the graphics, but if your CPU isn't the latest, it may not be fast enough. So the graphics card certainly can get faster, but it can be too fast for the CPU. They work together. The CPU is what's figuring out where the zombie is. The graphics card's drawing it. So if one's waiting for the other, they have to work hand in hand is what I'm saying. So it is possible that you could put in a better graphics card and get better results, but it may be that your graphics will be faster, but it's still waiting for the CPU to do the calculating.
Okay. So I downloaded or I installed Fraps on my computer to try to check out the frames per second.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when I was doing that, I was getting it to where everything was loading fine, everything was going all right, but my frames per second was about 2 to 5.
Two to five frames a second?
Right.
That's not so hot. Yeah, you need a new video card. The Blue Dog in the chat room recommends the NVIDIA 560, which is not a hugely expensive card. It's certainly going to make a difference in performance. I've seen it as low as about $160.
Leo, is there any way... Now, I'm on a pretty tight budget. Is there any way somebody can pull out of their hat a decent graphics card that'll play this game in the budget of $50 to $80?
Oh, sure. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm sure you can do that. Here's what I would do. Go to PCPer.com. PC Perspective. PCPer.com.
Okay.
It is an enthusiast site. They have a great section on video cards, on graphics cards, and they'll show you, benchmarks. The good news is, given that you have a very slow processor these days, you don't need to get the latest, greatest, video card. The 560 is probably a little bit more than you need. So I would say, go there, look at their video card benchmarks, and just get, the best card you can get for $50. There's plenty at $50, I think. The ATI 3870, the chat room is telling me, is $70, and a very nice card. You don't have a super fast processor, so you don't need to get the fastest video card out there. You'll certainly get faster than 2 frames per second. That's inadequate. Radeon HD 6570. From Power Cooler, $50, according to our chat room. That's a good one.
Okay.
The 3870 X2, the newest version, says Chumley. The 6850. There's a lot of good choices out there, but what I do is I'd look at the benchmarks. PCPer is a great site. In fact, for our previous caller who was building his own system, that's a great site for people building systems. They have, if you go to their HW leaderboard on there, they have 4 systems with the latest, greatest in 4 different price points. The low-end system of $530, the mid-range, $879, the high-end for $1,600, and if you're willing to spend $2,500, a dream system. And they'll tell you what processor, what motherboard, what video card, what hard drives, what memory, what sound card, what power supply, and in effect, all the parts you need to build it. And it's a great place. I just like this site. My friend Ryan Shrout does it. And it's disclaimer, Ryan does a great show on my podcast network called This Week in Computer Hardware. And that's frankly where I learn all about computer hardware, because it's just great. Just really great for that. I'm saying that the Core, now I don't know if it's a Core 2 Duo or a Core Duo. I'm saying that that's slow. It's a couple of generations back. But running more than 2 gigahertz, it by itself isn't that slow. So a good video card, you might be able to get a pretty good performance. Certainly better than 2 frames per second. I'll put that information, actually James DeRuvo will put that information to our website, techguylabs.com. That's where you'll find a link to our chat room, too. Really great to have you guys aboard. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And here comes Chris Marquardt, the photo guy.
Ba-da-bump.
Ba-da-bump. Ba-da-bing. Ba-da-bum. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-dum. Let's launch Skype. I am now using VPN to sign into the basement. This is a machine in the basement. And we'll just call Chris here. He doesn't seem to be getting any video. Turn off video.
Good afternoon.
Turn on video. Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Are you?
Good. I think once again, we're not sending you a video feed. I don't understand what's going on there.
I'm seeing a black screen.
Hey, what's going on with the video feed into Skype One?
Well, what's more important, did you get the email with the pictures for review?
Oh, we are doing a review.
Well, if you didn't get the email, I can move it out a week. I sent it pretty late.
I'm sure I have it. Don't worry about it.
I sent it pretty late.
He's trying to fix the video out here. You don't really need it.
As long as you guys can see me, that's good.
Yeah. So I'm going to go out of the VPN back to my local machine. I'm going to change the... I'm going to launch Diablo. No.
Do not play now.
Do not play Diablo. Pay no attention. I'm going to...
Leo, I sent you an email to remind you to assign a producer to August the 18th.
I think I did, I think I talked to Lisa about it.
Oh, I didn't hear about it.
I don't know if she... Yeah, maybe she hasn't... what do we decide to do?
I think...
Anyway, we'll let you know. Yes, we know. And good. Yeah. And then she was saying that you wanted to do a group portrait, but I think that day is not a good day for a group portrait because a lot of people aren't here on Saturdays.
That is...
You won't have time anyway. She said she was going to email you. Did you not get an email from Lisa?
No, I haven't received anything yet.
I will contact. I will talk to her and say... Yes, I did get the pictures. Good news.
You did. I'm actually around a few days. Let me see. Where's my calendar?
Barbecue.
Guten Appetit.
How do you say barbecue in German?
Grillen. We grill.
Grillen. Grillen mit Zivillen and the grillen and the billen.
Sort of.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Death grill. Ooh, flaming action figures. That was interesting. Black meat. Oh, that's a 3D. That was a 3D picture. Oh, I'm not showing these. Wait, I got to show them on the screen. Sunset.
Well, I'll have to trust. I'll have to trust you that you show them in the order
Pig
that I
Park
sent them
barbecue.
To.
Park barbecue. Lightning barbecuing something. Watermelon.
I chose the lightning one for.
Yeah, somebody's barbecuing. Ooh, that looks like a piece of meat. This is another winner. Yeah, I like that one. They're working on trying to figure out why the video's not working. I guess a lot of people were having barbecues. Oh, that's a nice one. I like that.
So, Leo, how's your calendar on August the 18th? I still want you on there for...
Oh, yeah, I'm free.
For a while.
I'm free. We'll get you set up. Do a transition for a little bit. I've set it up now that I go home at 2 on Saturday, so I don't have to... I can have a life. I can have a life.
That's a good thing.
Backyard barbecue master. All right, here we go.
Boys.
Kyle couldn't resist giggling when he played this one. Leo, Kyle Benham is my musical director. Blame him! And find his list on the website after the show, techguylabs.com. All the songs he plays, he puts a little playlist together because people always email us, what was that? You'll also find that on his Google Plus account, Kyle space Benham, Benham. Let's see, half past hour number 2. I think it's time for the photo guy. Am I right, Chris Marquardt? Is the
photo guy.
He's here from Tübingen, Germany. Chris is the host of the Tips from the Top Floor, wonderful photographic podcast. He's also a professional photographer and a geek at heart, teaches some great workshops. Chris, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Good to be back. We have a review.
Yeah, so we do this thing every month on the show. Chris will give us an assignment because we, you know, as a photographer, you need an excuse to get out there and shoot. So the number one thing I hear, I got all the equipment, I got the gear, I love the hobby, but what should I take a picture of? Well, we'll give you an assignment.
Really the question.
Yeah. So I'm ready. What do I take a picture of? So this week or this month, the assignment was barbecue, perfect for the month of July. Do you do barbecues in Germany?
We do. We call them Grillen. We grill things, you know.
Grillen. All right. Well.
Yeah.
So we have
to come from back in the throat, and then it's the right way to say it.
And the way this works, by the way, is you take the picture, you submit it to our tech guy group on Flickr, and then Chris will go through the. We have a couple of dozen this time around. Go through the pictures and pick a few to talk about. I know it's a little strange talking about photos on the radio, but what the heck? We're strange. So tell us, what did you pick this week?
Well, I don't actually think it's weird to talk about photography on the radio. I've been doing it on my podcast for over 7 years, and it's been working. So,
yeah, I could do that.
So, yeah, barbecue, that was the assignment. I picked three pictures this time. And let's start with the first one by Solstice Justin.
It's called Nature's Barbecue. I love it.
This is one of those pictures that, first I thought, what does that have to do with barbecue? Then I saw the title and I said, of course. So one of those outside-the-box kind of things. And, well, he has lightning on this picture, and I picked that because that is technically not so easy to do.
This is a tough picture to get. He's got lightnings coming from the sky, striking, looks like a campsite. It's at twilight, or maybe it's nighttime. Yeah, how do you get a shot like that?
I think it's nighttime. I think the lightning brought up the brightness of the sky. I mean, it's a huge flash, pretty much. Right. So we, what you do is you set the camera up on a tripod. You set the shutter to, you compose a shot, hoping that the lightning will strike where you composed the shot.
You can't like just whirl around and shoot this.
Not really. And then you just open the shutter on what's called bulb setting and leave it open for several seconds. And then if a lightning strikes, good. If not, take another picture and keep going for sometimes hours on end.
You can't just leave it open, right? Because you'll get too much light. I mean, there are lights of buildings on the lake. They would burn in, so
you'll have to find a balance between things. And you see light in the foreground in this picture, so there's a campsite or something. So you have the warm lights from, I guess, tungsten lighting, and then you have the lightning striking right behind that.
This is a really nice photo. I really this. Yeah,
takes tries to do it, but it's worth trying that.
So if you have a camera, and all DSLRs will do this, I don't think that many point and shoots, but if you have a camera where you can go to bulb and just press a button, and then the shutter stays open for a second or two, and just hope
you
lightning
could,
hits.
You could also set the camera on to like 5 seconds or 10 seconds
five
and just
ten.
Keep shooting.
Okay.
Just keep shooting. So,
well, I mean, this is spectacular timing on this one. This is an amazing lightning shot. Somebody said it looks like God is tasering the campground.
Ouch.
God's taser. All right. Picture number two is an actual barbecue.
That's BBQ by CatWiz 2004. And I picked that one because it's one of those things, you know, when you want to shoot barbecue, everyone is so focused on the actual barbecue,
we got lots of meat exactly. Pictures, yeah,
and the fire and everything. So this is a different one. CatWiz 2004 picked up detail, and that's the knobs where you probably set the flame of the grill. So it's outside of the actual barbecue. It's part of the machinery that you do it with. And it's just a detail on the side. And I think every time you go out and shoot something specific, make sure to take some detail on the side and include that. And it'll make them for a more appealing set of pictures if you have some outside detail.
Hard to do that again with a point and shoot because everything's usually in focus in a point and shoot.
Well, if you get close enough, you can actually get it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. The closer you get, the more background you will get out of focus.
Nice job, CatWiz 2004. Finally, we got some meat.
The cliche picture.
Oh, but a nice one. Oh, it's a beauty. She's a beauty, Captain.
by southernpixelalbi.us, the BomberQ, saying burning chicken for the tech guy is an annual art event and temporary community based on radical self-expression and self-reliance and not held in the Black Rock Desert of Nevada.
No. So this is Burning Man in Alabama.
Exactly. So what I like about this is it's very, again, a very cliche photo. You could probably sell chicken wings with that because
there's some compositional stuff going on because you could have just focused on the chicken, but he got a nice flame on the right side, the chicken on the left.
The flame, and that is the context in this picture. So you see the warm line on the warm light on the wing in the back, and then you see the light source, and it's a very warm thing. It conveys the heat of the barbecue, and the meat looks tasty, and the focus is right, I think, where it needs to be. The flame is out of focus, so it just adds some context. It's not the most important thing in the picture. I'm getting hungry looking at that.
Tell you what, I'll send links to all three of these to James so he can put them on our Tech Guy Lab sites, or you can go to Flickr.com. That's Flickr without an E.com, a Yahoo photo sharing site, and find the Tech Guy group, and you'll see all of these images, plus many more. There, and you can participate in our next photo assignment. This is not a competition. This is not not a contest, just for fun. What do you want? What do you want to do this time?
Well, I read some semi complaints on the chat actually, because it's so what are we going to do with the vegetarians, you know?
Oh, you so can barbecue vegetables. Come on now.
So I think the next assignment should be veggie.
Aha. All right, there's a response. Veggie gives you a lot of options. Exactly. I've got veggies right in front of me right now, my salad lunch.
See?
Yeah, Leo's salad. That could be a topic. So this is just for fun. And just really, you know, folks, it's just an excuse. Just an excuse to take pictures, to get out there and shoot. One picture per week, please, so we don't get overwhelmed. If you go to Flickr.com and then search for the Tech Guy Group, two words. You'll know you're in the right group because you'll see thousands of members and pictures and stuff. It's a very active group. And then just submit, tag it, if you would, with the word veggie, V-E-G-G-I-E. That way we'll find it more easily. And we'll pick three in about a month. We'll give you a month to do it. So Tech Guy, two words, the Tech Guy Group. 9,000. We're going to have 10,000 members by the time we do this again. 9,618 members, 2,508 photos, and I want to see dozens of veggie pictures by next week. Chris,
10,000 people. That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
That is great. Chris Marquardt is at chrismarquardt.com. That's his website. Leads great workshops, and he's going to do a photo day August 18th. I'll tell you more about that as we get closer. Thanks, Chris. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. 10,000th member gets a Nikon D800 battery. Actually, I think I gave that to Catherine. She doesn't have it either. But all right, thank you, Chris. Good job. Fun stuff.
Absolutely, and let's get the photo day going. This will be awesome.
I'm excited. Yeah, you should get an email this week.
Very cool. Yeah. All right.
I talked about it with Lisa, and I'm pretty sure she has a... Maybe she wanted to talk to Tony first, an editor she can assign and all that stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Take
Alrighty.
Care.
Thanks, Chris.
Talk to you again next
week.
All
righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now we take that away. We put this up here.
Yes.
Since the Workforce Pro zips out two-sided prints, you can also cut back on paper costs up to 50%, right?
Good.
Good deal for Mother Nature, too. Less paper, less trees.
Great, yeah.
I gotta say,
good. Love it. Love it.
So put your small business in overdrive with
the you know, look at Vic G. If you look at the two different 85mm lenses, the difference in price will be almost certainly the aperture, the lowest aperture. I have my 85mm lens is an f1.2. It's at the high end of that price range. That's why.
Central, my cloud phone system.
It's just the high high speed lenses are very expensive. Oh, is it a nice lens? You know, I finally got my my email from Apple. I got it Friday, two or three days after the Mountain Lion upgrade. So I was impatient like everybody, and I bought it. And I really have to think that
This
individual well, I can't say that Apple planned it this way, but boy, it just seems kind of skeezy.
Will you encourage other people
right?
To send.
From so,
the standpoint of just the more obligation to make sure
I immediately applied the minute that they opened up applications, yes, which was on Wednesday,
software piracy
the 25th, right? No, the 25th.
For a cash reward.
And they did not. This was mailed out to me on the 27th at 11 a.m., so full 48 hours later. By then, of course, I had purchased it. They got my $20 because I can't wait. So I think that, I don't know, and I think that they did that all around. Very annoying. Very annoying. I got my $20. And then, by the way, I applied the code. It didn't seem to give me a refund. I guess I have to contact Apple. You know, it's $20. It's not worth an hour of my time to get the money back. I know I'm a sucker, but I needed mine. You got yours right away, Mark? It's very odd that... It seems like there's no reason why it should take 2 days. It's all automated, right? I don't either, Ed, but we do it anyway. It just feels wrong. It just feels like Apple was manipulative in that. But oh, shut up, Dr. Mom. They must have known I had an Android phone, right? No, Apple doesn't know it's me. Yeah, I would love to. That'd be great, Padre. You don't need the pics or the vids because it's radio. Unless you want to do it on Twit. Oh, you want to do it on Twit? Why don't you do that on Twit and then we can use the pics and vid. Hey, Chad. Robert Ballitzer is going to call us from DEF CON for Twit. Yeah, he's going to... yeah, he'll Skype us. Great. That'll be a fun bit. Yeah, yeah. Have it the avatar with a collar.
Leo, Nod 32 is your library.
Okay, I can.
I've been waiting for so long. Now I've found someone to stand by me. So we take each other's hand, cause we seem to understand the urgency.
This one's for you, Musley Arms.
You're the one thing I can't get enough of.
Yeah. Yeah, Musley Arms. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This is the time of your life. That's that Arctic Monkeys song I want to hear. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 ask. Leo's a phone number. Fred's on the line from Los Angeles. Hi, Fred. Leo Laporte here.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Leo?
I'm great. Thanks for hanging on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. This is a three-part question. First one is, I have an idea to modify an existing product, and it's an idea whose time has come, and it could very well have a worldwide impact. I need a designer/builder for this, for such product. It's a high-tech product. A designer/builder. What would be that person's title?
What you're saying is you have a world-beating idea, but you don't know how to create it or make it, so you need to hire somebody who's going to make it. And then, by the way, the way this works, and it is easier to do this than it ever was. Used to be, you know, this was a tricky thing to do, but thank goodness we now have the assembly line to the world. It's called China, where you could pretty much, for a fairly low amount of money, make almost anything. Now, you're going to get somebody local to do a prototype, make sure it's doable, workable, so forth. And then you can go to China, and you can say, we want to do a production run of this. And by the way, it'll only cost you maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars. And then you take the, you know, that pallet of junk that you've made and you bring it to the United States, and now you find somebody who will sell it. Oh, that's hard because you've got to have connections at Walmart or Kmart or Target or wherever it is and sell it. So, you know, it's funny. You have the easiest part of it. You have the idea. Wasn't it? Remember the great moment in the Social Hour? Mark Zuckerberg, played by Jesse Eisenberg, is talking about these guys, the Winklevoss twins, who are suing him, saying they had the idea for Facebook. And his response was, well, if you'd had the idea for Facebook, you would have made Facebook. You didn't. I did. And this is an important point. We all have ideas that are going to change the world. The difference between somebody who has an idea who's going to change the world and somebody who actually changes the world is everything that happens from the idea on. So you're right. You need to find a designer. You need to find a manufacturer. You need to find a vendor. All of this stuff is hard and costly. You know, in the past, I would have said, you know, good luck. But there are now ways to do this. For instance, Kickstarter.com. You know about Kickstarter? So you can get the designer. That's not so much. You can pay for that out of pocket. 50 grand, big deal. You can get it designed. You can find somebody who might do it on Elance.com or, you know, there's a lot of websites now for designers, that kind of thing. But then you got to raise another, you know, bunch of money and make it. Here's an example on Kickstarter that's wonderful, very well known. It's called the Pebble Watch. So these guys wanted to make a customizable watch that would tie into your phone, your smartphone, your iPhone or your Android phone. And it would, you know, have a display that would not only show the time, but, you know, appointments, you know, contacts. It would give you, it would tie to your phone. It would get the smarts of the phone in the watch. It's a good idea. Good idea. These guys themselves are designers. They call themselves the Dream Team. They had a working prototype, so they went to a site called Kickstarter.com. And you apply to get in, and Kickstarter says, okay, you create a video describing what you want to do, why you think it's going to be a good idea, and then you ask people to pledge money. Generally, you have a variety of pledges. In this case, they had pledges ranging from a dollar. If you pledge a dollar, you'll get emails letting you know what's going on. You pledge $99, you'll get a watch. You pledge $115, you'll get a different watch. I don't know. $125, you'll get a watch in any color. Oh, okay. The first two are black. But now you could choose from white, red, voter's choice. And they had, this was clever marketing. They had a kind of a contest to choose the next color, or jet black. Pledge $220, you get two watches. $235, $240, $550. There were even, if you go to the very largest level, the highest level, $10,000 pledges, the mega distributor pack, you'd get 100 Pebble watches. Now, you're really taking a risk. There's no guarantee on Kickstarter that they're ever going to make this watch. The only way, the way it works is they say, well, we think we need, in this case, $100,000 to get this prototype to manufacture. That's, by the way, a low amount of money. It typically is $150,000 or more, but they said $100,000. Maybe they're going to kick in some of their own money. By the way, when you buy into this, you're not buying a piece of the company. It's not like buying stock. You're just getting the right to get a watch if they should end up making one. And I have to say, I've paid for a lot of Kickstarter projects where I've never seen anything. So the risk is all yours. So this happened in May. They went online. They said, we want $100,000. You've got 30 days to raise it. You can make a pledge. Your pledge will not be cashed in unless we get to $100,000. By the end of May, they had raised $10.2 million. They better darn well make this watch. I bought one. They better darn well. I hope I get a watch. 68,929 people said, hey, this is a good idea. So here's what I would suggest. I would say, yes, you're on the right track if you've got a world-beating idea. Do get somebody who can make a working prototype, or as close as you can get. Not all of these have working prototypes. Get somebody else who can make a video. Marketing is really important, right? Get somebody else who can make a video. And then go to Kickstarter. There's another one called Indiegogo that also does the same kind of thing. There's starting to be a number of sites like this where people raise money to do stuff. the most successful Kickstarter campaign of all time was just a few weeks ago. An Android video game console called the Ouya. Ouya. They started this a few weeks ago asking for $950,000. They realized, I think, from the Pebble Watch, you should ask for more. They've already raised $5.7. They got to $1 million in less than a day. They've got 44,000 backers, and they still have 10 days to go. So this is a very successful way to raise the money. Now you go to China with a working prototype. You've got cash in hand, so you can go to somewhere like Foxconn, which makes all the Apple products, and say, make this. You'll have to work with them. You'll have to go to China probably, but you might be able to find somebody local who will help you interface. You'll make it. And now you got to find a way to distribute it. The nice thing about Kickstarter is you're kind of seeding the market, aren't you? Because you've now got 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 people who know about what you're doing and who've already bought in. Terry H. raises a very good point. He says, I never donate at Kickstarter because I don't know who gets the money when a product isn't made. Well, that's a very good point. And as I said, I've donated to several projects on Kickstarter that I never got anything. And there is no guarantee. It's no insurance. You may lose that money. I bought a Pebble watch. We'll see if I ever... I'll let you know if I get one. I think I bought an Ouya, for that matter. I'm kind of a sucker. I wonder, you know, this is the Kickstarter is a very hot commodity right now. I do wonder how this is going to all play out, if this is going to go on. I mean, it's really cool. Let's see. What did I buy? I'll just see. Let me look at what I bought on Kickstarter just to see. I bought the Nifty Mini Drive. Still no product, but still 4 days to go on that. I did say I'll pay $1,000 for the Space Folk album. This was an idea to record an album on the moon. They never raised the $21 million they were looking for, so I got them. I didn't lose the money. The Kona filter, coffee filter and brewing system was funded a month ago. Maybe I'll get that one day. Oh, this is a good one, the Joey Bra. I bought this for a friend. It's the first sexy and comfortable pocketed bra. You put your iPhone in your bra. Got funded, and I got one. I got that one. The one thing I didn't really need. Pebble Watch, no. Dice Age, yeah, I gave them money a year ago still. They raised $34,000 in June of 2011. Still haven't seen any dice. Oh, here's my favorite. Diaspora raised $200,000 to make a Facebook clone. Yeah. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. If the guy says, wait a minute, that was what I was going to do, the bra with a phone in it. I made a... Oh, you're hitting the camera there with your chair.
Summertime is still business time. I made a mistake and I... Don't take a break, even if you're taking...
I got the wrong size. No, it's kind of... But this is the way it is. Anybody wants a small bra? I got one. I don't need...
That's why when we have meetings now, we just go to meetings.
This dice one. Are you leaving? I scared you off, huh? Nice to meet you. Do you want to get... Come on, get back here and get a picture.
Even
come on,
more visual now with Citrus's HD faces.
You
got to
do that, both of you. All it takes and, is before you go, click, sit on the ball.
And suddenly they're seeing you crystal clear HD.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing them.
Oh, yeah, it's very important. The
body language.
Got to wear the silly hat.
Great for staff meetings, for training. For pitch me. Yeah. Summertime's great. Try to
awkward family photo.
30 days right now. Visit gotomedia.com. Click the try it free button. And my name, Leo, is the
person. Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for visiting.
Try it for 30 days.
That's
show your
great. Safe travels back. Water. Anytime
go
you're in Petaluma, come to Tuttle's.
Use my name, Leo.
We're over by the Beanie Babies. Nice to see you guys. Bye bye. Take care. How you doing? Huh? Just you. Back from war, huh? Glutton for punishment.
Day two of the Vampire Diaries convention. My wife is.
Oh, is that what she's doing? That's right. Yeah. How fun. Where's that, in San Francisco?
Yeah.
That's fun.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7.
You know, I did get an email from Datamancer. Apparently my steampunk laptop, my $6,000 steampunk laptop is on its way. I've paid for it. This is one I thought I'll never. I paid him $27.70 a year ago, down payment. And
you're tuned to Premier Channel.
So he sent me an email a couple of days ago saying, "Okay, ready to ship. Want to do this quickly because the Acer or Asus N5 laptop I'm basing this on is going out of production." I sent him a note saying, "I guess it's too late to get a newer laptop. A Windows 8 laptop would be nice." But see, that's the problem, is he has to design all this stuff based on a certain laptop. And it takes a while, so it's fine. It's a good laptop. It's i7. It's a desktop replacement. It's Asus gaming laptop. It's not, I suppose the hardware's not what's important, is it? And then I said, if I can get stained glass in the top, he said, you have a variety of choices. So instead of the map, because I don't know if the map will read on camera, but he said we can get stained glass lit by the LEDs in the monitor. I said, oh, that would be nice, because that'll look good on camera. So I think he's going to do the Twit logo and the stained glass. And I decided to go with the stained pine. This is wild. This is a laptop. And I also wanted the Lord of the Rings font on my keyboard. And then he asked about these wrist rests. He had black leather or brown leather or split hide. And I said, well, I'd like to get the regular brown, dark brown.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7.
No, it's a work of art. Exactly right, Robert. It's a work of art. It's like a piano. And I bought it more than a year ago because I thought it'd be really cool in the studio. I didn't know it'd take a year and a half to get, but that's fine. That's fine. Look at it. This guy's an artist. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. So of course, it takes a while. And it's cool to have a Victorian laptop. I'll be using this on Twit. But yeah, you're right. It's a little pricey. Is that a wooden trackpad? I wonder if that works. Look at this. This guy's insane. Anyway, so that should be coming soon. I don't know if this is the one you wind up with a key. But, yeah, $68.50. So I paid for it. He's paid for the full thing now. Oh, it's fully custom. Fully, everything's custom. I know. It seemed like a good idea at the time. It does have Blu-ray. It also has a 1080p screen. It has USB 3, not Thunderbolt. It better not get damaged in transit. Yeah, Lisa kind of knows. I kind of glossed it over.
This is Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6:00.
It's a set piece. I mean, you know, the chair that I sit in costs like $3,000. I mean, when you talk about a set, you need to, you know, this stuff is not cheap. This is expensive. I ordered this like almost 2 years ago, so I thought I'd have more money. I thought by now, yeah, I would be, if I lived with Lisa, I'd be sleeping on the couch, Dr. Mom. Fortunately, I have my own bed.
We'll begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Network.
It's for work. Not the ball. The wing chair I sit in at Twit. I know. You remember when I ordered this, didn't you?
You are tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte.
He's an artist. It's not. I understand why it takes that long. He's got to build these by hand.
Premier Radio Network.
It's fine. Yeah, the airplane part chair. So I gave him a $2,700 deposit, you know, like January of last year. But he's almost done. I should get this soon. So it was worth it. And they're out of stock. I mean, if you didn't pre-order, you know, these are handmade, one of a kind. I don't know how much more expensive the stained glass top is going to be. I might have made a mistake on that. We'll see. Oh, no, it hasn't been shipped yet. He just sent me an email saying, okay, I finished the prototype. What I'm doing right now is holding a small design meeting with all the pre-orders to find out if they want any customizations. What kind of wood? I'm going with a default pine as seen on the site and this default stain as seen on the site. What font on the keys? I told them Lord of the Rings font. The kind of leather wrist rest. And then the lid design. With the current base model as seen on the site, the easiest thing for me to use as a decorative element in the lid are flat items like engraved brass plates, foil maps, photographs, prints of woodcuts or schematics, etc. The foil map is the quickest build. The clockwork lid, which at first I thought I was going to get, will take a bit of design work to implement, but requires a bit of redesign and a slightly thicker lid. In addition to design seen on the site, you've also seen from my prior updates, I can also do 3D carvings, floral designs, etc. But again, these will add slightly to the build time. Another interesting idea I came up with a little while ago is to insert a stained glass design in the lid, which would be backlit by the LCD's own backlight. And I said, you know what? Of all of those, that sounds like the best for on camera because it'll glow, right? So I asked him for that, and he said he's going to do that. And then he asked for the Twit logos. So I'm thinking he might do like a stained glass Twit, which would be worth it, right? LCD border engraving. I said, if you want to put Twit on it or something like that, you can. The gears are what turned me on. I agree, but I think you can't. I think you won't be able to see them on TV. So I opted for something that'd be a little more visible. We are overfed. Look at that. I got 8 pounds of lettuce. This is enough to feed an African village for a week. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about, computers, the internet, oh yeah. We can talk about tablets, laptops, smartphones, home theater. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S., we get lots of calls internationally. But just use something like Skype out, and it still won't cost you anything. Bob is our next caller from Camarillo, California. Hey, Bob, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. My question is regarding Facebook. My wife has a one-person business, and she's had several people mention to her that she ought to have a presence on Facebook.
Yeah.
Doing some research. Obviously, there's no phone number you can call to Facebook to talk to them. No. I guess they don't have any live bodies up there.
It's a free service. You get what you pay. You get what you see is what you get.
Yeah, I guess so. It's keeping in mind that it's taken me about 6 years to get her to the point where I can get her to check her email regularly. I'm just wondering what, if anything, Facebook for business would provide her?
Great question. So really, always, for the last, say, 10 years, the first answer is if you have a business, you ought to have your own website. And it should be, you know, mybusiness.com.
She has that.
That is always a must. Even if you have presences elsewhere, your own website, you control, you own. Because here's the problem with Facebook. It's their site. And if they decide to pull the plug on you for whatever reason, that's it. So you shouldn't make that your only site. On the other hand, if you go to facebook.com/, let's say, Ford, you'll see that the Ford Motor Company very much has. Now, does Ford have its own website? Heck yes. But do they have a Facebook site? Yes. Because, in fact, their Facebook site has 1.5 million likes. It has 18,000 people talking about it. These are powerful marketing tools. So you absolutely, in addition to having a website, should have a Facebook site. What's her business?
She's an electrologist.
Okay. So I know a lot of estheticians, makeup artists, haircutters, who have Facebook sites. It isn't going to probably generate a huge amount of business, so don't spend a lot of money on it. But just have it in the same way that you have the website so that if people go there, there's something there. And And if you do that, you do, it is incumbent on you to post. And so she should periodically, I think it'd be a good thing to have before and after pictures. I don't know, an electrolysis, that might be an interesting thing. You might have success stories. It might be a way for her to stay, you know, just as you use Facebook personally to stay in touch with friends, Facebook is a good way to stay in touch with customers that's not, in, you know, as intrusive as, let's say, a mailing list.
Right.
So I have, you know, what I've done is typical of, so I'm a brand, right, like her business. I am a, personally, I am a brand. So I used to have a Tech Guy Facebook page. I used to have a Twit, which is my podcast company, Facebook. I actually even still have all of those. But it turned out that really most people were following me, Leo Laporte. So what I did is I took my personal Facebook page and made it a public page. And you could turn on subscriptions. And now 142,000 people follow me. So this has become my, you know, I have a website. I have a lot of presences on the internet in a lot of different ways. I have more than 300,000 Twitter followers, too. All of that is a way to stay in touch with people, let them know what I'm up to. Maybe to put a personal face on something that's more impersonal. That's also what it's good for.
I guess where I'm going is when you go to the Facebook sign-up page, down in the lower right-hand corner, it talks about for business.
Well, here's the deal. Does she have a Facebook page?
No, she doesn't.
Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is create a personal page that's private.
Okay.
And then your business page will be attached to that. So when you log into your Facebook account, you can manage your business page. So that's true. Facebook makes a distinction between pages and, you know, business pages and personal pages. But a business page, well, I guess you could just create a business page without having a personal page. But that page is, you know, tied to, if you have a personal page, at least in my, at my account, that's tied to it. And one of the great things you get on a business page is a lot of tools for building audience, for seeing, you know, how much activity you're getting. It's really handy. It's a really nice way to keep track of how you're doing. Now, a national business is going to get a lot more use out of this than a local business, but I think it's an easy thing to do. It's not a lot of work, and it's a great way to stay in touch with which she's probably already spending some time doing. Stay in touch with your clients and building a new client base, right?
They call her, and she does stay in touch with them, but she doesn't. As far as I know, she's never done a mailer to them. She's kept everything kind of like you would with your doctor's office.
Well, so that's the question. I mean, it's not always the case that it's appropriate to have a Facebook page. She maybe, you know, if it's a business, and I guess electrolysis would be where some privacy is expected, maybe you don't want a Facebook page. Maybe you just want to, like a doctor. Yeah, I think you're right. A doctor's office probably shouldn't have a Facebook page. Now, what maybe should happen is a doctor, if a doctor wants to build his or her brand as an expert in, say, pediatrics, just as a doctor might have a blog that has, you know, articles about pediatrics, you might have a face. Anybody who would have a web page probably should have a Facebook page as well, with much the same content.
She's got a web page that I built her.
Do people use it?
Yeah, it turns out that more and more of her new business is coming to the
there you go.
Web page as opposed to from
there
Yellow
you go.
Page.
There, yeah. Oh, yeah. This replaces Yellow Pages, advertise. I mean, this becomes. So what you want is, if somebody is searching for electrolysis in your wife's name, that they find her, right?
That's what I want.
Yeah, and that's what the web page does. And I think a Facebook page is done much the same way as a web page. Just think of it as another web page. It could even have the same content.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying to fix her up with something that she doesn't have to consistently go in and, you know, like a blog would require her to.
I understand she doesn't want to spend a lot of time maintaining it, but the truth is, the best web pages have new content all the time because that drives new traffic. What you're using her web page for right now is basically a directory entry. So, but
yeah,
somebody searches it, they find the phone number and the
A sign.
Well, then you probably, you know, if that's all it is, then you probably don't need a Facebook page. Facebook is about interaction. There's no point in putting up a page that doesn't change on Facebook.
Yeah,
Well, I was thinking, I mean, she's got a lot of people that are very satisfied with her. If I could get them to say, to tell somebody, this might be a good way to do that.
You might want to put a link to her Yelp listing. Yelp has become, in many ways, the new Yellow Pages. Yelp.com. Right. Things like that. You got to be careful with Yelp. You can't solicit reviews. Yelp gets upset about that. So, you know, you have to be careful. But I have to say, not every business needs to be on the web. Not every business needs to have a Facebook page. You'll have to be the judge of that. But a lot of businesses now benefit from that. I think you've got to have at least a directory page on the internet called your web page. And if you want to interact with your customers, if you want to, you know, share coupons or specials or success stories, or even just have customers say happy birthday or, you know, congratulations on the new store, then having a Facebook page is a very personal way, if managed properly, to stay in touch. Not, it's challenging. I'm not saying it's easy. And if you think nobody's ever going to use that page or touch it, I wouldn't create it. It's got to be kept up to date. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The Little Debbie giveaway. What? Little Debbie snack cakes.
If you're assistant man, or you're an
these are. Do we have them here? I think these are East Coast. But apparently, Trey Ratcliffe likes Little Debbies. Andrew Johnson and Ed Capuano, three of my friends. I like my Facebook page because this is a chance for me. And sometimes people get irate because they say, where's the computer help and how to on here? But I don't use this for computer help and how to. This is just if you if you want to know a little more about me personally, then so this really is my personal page. I don't make any distinction between this and my personal page. Here's chess games I've played lately, my dinner date, tweets, music I'm listening to. It's not useful. Stuff I post on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm on the break. What are you bringing me now? It's a wireless thing with a TV on. Is that, what is that for? Oh, you guys rock. Oh, you crack me up. Oh, they'll see it. They'll see it this afternoon on Twit. You are so funny. Awesome. Roll it in from DEF CON, ladies and gentlemen. That's awesome.
I love Prince. Who doesn't love Prince? I was listening to Raspberry Beret. Oh, no, this is Controversy. That's a good one. I like old Prince better. I know. We'll just have to buy one. Shocking. Uptown's about, well, that's right. He's from Minnesota, isn't he? He's in Minneapolis. Oh, I love Prince. In fact, I was going to watch Purple Rain the other night. Purple Rain. Only one. So, Kyle, is Katie McKinney a friend of yours? Is that your girlfriend?
Are you talking to me?
Kyle Benham.
Oh, yeah. Hello?
Katie McKinney, is that your girlfriend?
I have no idea who that is.
She has to be my Facebook friend, and you're her other friend. From Scottsbluff, Nebraska? You don't know who that is?
I'm just a friendly guy.
That's why it's a little misleading on Facebook, because people will ask me my friend, and they have 12 friends in common, but they're all public figures, and I go, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean they're friends. I'm gonna let Katie be my friend. She's cute. She likes Emerald Cocoa Roast Almonds. She likes Mars. Anybody who likes Mars is okay with me. I never mentioned the Facebook page on the show. And it's definitely created more subscribers. All of a sudden. It's funny, of my subscribers, 34,000 subscribe via lists. So I'm on lists like Tech Journalist lists or something. Let's see, I'm on Tech News, Tech Media, Tech Industry Heroes, Tech Journalists and Bloggers. 50 people in tech you should follow on Facebook. I should subscribe to them. Subscribe to all of these, huh? Social media mavens. Tech heads. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 88-88. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, if you want to talk high tech, that's what I'm here for, baby. Talking about technology with Chris in Toluca Lake, California, our next caller. Hi, Chris. Leo Laporte here.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm just peachy.
Peachy. Awesome.
Yeah, not quite peachy keen. I can't get my
just peachy, not keen. Well, what can I do to make you keen?
Well, I'd like to find out what's going on. Friday night after I'd gotten home from moving some stuff, I'm in the process of moving, and tried to get back on the internet. It wouldn't let me.
Uh-oh.
Make long story short, after running diagnosis and everything else, it's telling me that my adapter device cannot start. It's giving a code 10 on the network.
All right. So your network adapter has died.
I'm using other computers on it. But,
yeah. I mean, obviously, you need a network adapter to get online. Mm-hmm. Is it a laptop or a desktop?
It's a desktop.
Okay. And do you know if this device is a card in a slot, or is it a motherboard device? Do you know off the top of your head?
I believe it's a card in a slot when I'm looking through the stuff online.
Okay.
From,
so the first thing I would do is open up the case. Turn off the computer, obviously. Power it down. And open up the case. Be careful. You might want to unplug it so you don't shock yourself. And make sure the card is seated. If it's a separate standalone card that goes in a slot, it's very easy for them to get knocked loose or even work their way loose over time. So I would...
Especially after a move.
Pardon me?
So especially after a move.
Yeah. So that's probably what happened.
Okay.
So I would open it up. I would take that card out of the slot, reseat it in nice and firm, and then turn it on and see if it works then. If it still doesn't, you might want to, uninstall drivers and so forth. But, you know, given that you moved, it sounds like it just came loose.
Well, I'm hoping it's the easy one.
Yeah, that would be the easy one.
Otherwise, I'll just have to replace the...
Yeah, it could be that. If it's a motherboard connector, you know, a lot of times Ethernet these days is on the motherboard itself. That's obviously a little more tricky, especially if it's failed. Then that means you might need a new motherboard if you want to replace it. But often you could just get a second card and put that in there. So I bet you that's what's wrong. Walter Huntington, West Virginia, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, hi, Leo.
Hey, Walter.
It's good to speak to you again. I seem to be able to call you about once a week.
Well, you're a very lucky man. Don't say that too loud because there's a lot of people who can't get through at all are going, what the heck?
I've heard, yeah.
How did he get it again?
Well, my question is, I have the iPad, the new iPad, and I have made albums, you know, from the Photos file.
Yeah.
And I want to transfer the albums to my PC. I have Windows 7. Is there some easy program to use to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's normally out the way it works if you have a Macintosh, and of course Apple wishes you had a Macintosh, is you just hook it up and the iPhoto will take the album. In this case, there are a number of programs that will work like iPhoto on Windows. I would try Picasa.
Oh, Picasa.
Yeah, I love Picasa. Yeah, well, so what you want to do is you want to have, when you connect, and I think you do this in iTunes, it'll say, well, what do you want to use for your photo? Because you don't have iPhoto. So it'll say, what do you want to use for photos? Say Picasa. And Picasa will make albums. So I presume, I'm guessing, but I presume that Picasa will accept albums made on the iPad as albums and duplicate those.
I see. Okay, I'll give it a try. Thank you.
You're welcome. Picasa is nice because it's free from Google, P-I-C-A-S-A. ASA, Picasa.google.com. I'll have to try that. I haven't tried that myself, but I would guess, and maybe somebody in the chat room knows, that that would pick up the albums that you create in your on your iPad, that those albums would then become albums on Picasa. That'd be nice. But remember, Apple has no incentive to make it work well. They want you to buy a Mac. Ben's in El Paso. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ben.
Hello, Leo. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
Once you download a... you were talking about them earlier.
Podcasts.
Onto your iPad.
Yes.
Permanently stay on the iPad? And if so, how do you remove it so that you don't end up taking up... memory that you have on
well,
the
and it depends on which version of iOS you're running. In older versions of iOS, you'd actually have to launch iTunes, connect the iPad physically, and launch iTunes and delete it that way. But in newer versions of iOS, because Apple's trying to disconnect you from the umbilical cord, in newer versions of iOS, you no longer have to hook up to iTunes. There, you can actually do it directly from, in this case, you'll get the podcasts app. Apple has a podcasts app. There are other good podcast apps that I like a little bit better than the Apple podcast app. The Apple app's a little buggy. It's free. You can get it on the App Store. But I like Downcast a lot better, and that has the ability to delete old podcasts. It's nice to be able to do that from the device.
Oh, okay.
But you have to do it from within the app that you downloaded the show.
Okay. And one other thing. A few weeks ago, you were talking to the gentleman. There was a gentleman having a problem with ESET on a Vista machine.
Yeah.
Tonight. To upgrade to 7.
Yeah.
Well, I had the same problem. I upgraded. It wasn't a clean install from Vista to 7.
There's the issue, isn't it? Yep.
Right. When I talked to ESET, what they had to do is just give me a different version of ESET, like version 4 version 5, and it corrected the issue of not being able to connect. Because it prevented me from being able to connect to the internet.
Yeah, sometimes. Now, ESET, I think, is very good software. You know they're a sponsor, so there's a disclaimer there. But sometimes security software can be overzealous. And that's why I'm generally in favor of an antivirus as opposed to a security suite. Because the suites tend to be a little overzealous and can often cause problems like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your time.
And thanks for the tip, Ben. I appreciate it. In general... this is maybe one difference between Apple and Microsoft. In general, when you're upgrading Windows, you know, I know they say, oh, you can upgrade in place. You can, you know, put Windows 7 on top of Vista. You'll be able to put Windows 8 on top of Windows 7. It's a bad thing to do. Not merely because the operating system, you know, has extra junk lying around, but because of old software. It's better to reinstall everything if you can. It's time-consuming. And that's why most Windows users... don't ever upgrade Windows. They buy a new computer. You'll use a version of Windows that came with your computer until the next computer, and then you'll do it. But that's the difference. In the Mac world, Apple wants you and expects you to buy a new version of OS X every year. And now they price it fairly affordably. OS X Mountain Lion, the new version that came out this week, is only $20 for every computer. And it does, I have to say, it does change my normal recommendation that you want to do what's called a clean install, where you nuke it and start over. My experience has been, I've upgraded, in fact, the machine I'm looking at, I think I went from Leopard to Snow Leopard to Lion to Mountain Lion on the same machine. I don't think it's had a clean install in several generations, and it's fine. So... I guess when it comes to OS X, it's probably okay to upgrade in place. But Windows, my experience has been is almost always you want to start fresh. And I think a lot of people are getting Windows 8 machines because that's the next version due out in just a couple of months. 8888 Ask Leo. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, do you think Chrome doesn't work fast because of those upgrades? That's interesting. I thought that might be the case, and that's why I did a fresh install on the Air, because Chrome was so slow, and it still sucks on a brand new fresh install. So I cannot figure out why on some Macs, many Macs, Chrome doesn't work. Now, many of my Macs, it works fine. There's less incentive to do so now because, of course, Safari finally has a all-in-one bar at the top. All right, we're starting to see those pictures of the iPhone 5. People are getting excited. Maybe you're starting to think, how am I going to get that iPhone 5? What do I do with the old iPhone? I would like to plant a mind worm. Just want you to remember gazelle.com. When the time comes to upgrade that iPhone, that Macintosh, that Android phone, you could subsidize the upgrades by selling the old one on Gazelle. Gazelle has the 13 biggest producers now. They've simplified this. They found that most people, this is what they're doing. They got an iPhone, an iPad, an iPod, Apple TV, an Apple laptop or desktop or display. They've got a BlackBerry, a Samsung, Motorola, or HTC or LG Android phone, or they got a Nokia. I got that N900. Let me see what Nokia. Let's see. It's AT&T, right? Oh, they're not. Maybe it's not 18. Unlocked. That's what it is. You have to have it unlocked. I have the N9 unlocked. Let's see what this is. Yeah, it's no noticeable flaws because I really used it once. I sure saved all the materials. I hope I can get some money for this thing. Nice phone. Oh, hey, nice. So I got a quote. Let's do it again. What do you got? What do you want to get the new iPhone? Okay, you want to sell your old iPhone? All right, let's get an offer. This is how easy it is. 32 gigs Sprint Verizon iPhone 4S, $280. Woo! Now here's the cool thing. You can get an Amazon gift card, a check, or PayPal right away. By the way, they pay the postage for anything worth more than a buck. Get the Amazon gift card though, because you get an extra 5%. So that $280 is worth another $14, $294. Just cause you're a nice person. Gazelle. Now, the nice thing is this offer is good for 30 days. So get it now, because I'll tell you, the offer won't change, but the value of the product goes down every single day. Does it not? Does it not? They have a great offer update email they'll send you that will let you know, and you can watch the price tumble. But that offer is good for 30 days. So take advantage of it now. Go to gazelle.com. This is a great time to sell a used smartphone or Apple product and get some cash to trade up. Get that risk-free quote, good for 30 days, at G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Love them. They're a gadget hound's best friend. They will not take your Apple IIe, Ed Porter. No one wants your Apple. How come you have 40 Apple IIes? That's a lot. I don't know if Gazelle works in Canada. I would guess it's U.S. only, but I don't really know. That's a good question. I do not know. Does anybody know? That's an excellent question. I think it's okay in Canada. No, not in Canada. Pardon me? I don't think they're in Texas. I think they're in Boston or somewhere. They may have a... Yeah. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Phone number 8888. Ask Leo. Anthony is in Fresno. Hello, Anthony. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I have the black MacBook that I bought in 2007.
I did too. It's paid $100 more for the black.
Yeah. And I'm finally starting to have problems with it. So what's happening is I'll be using it, and all of a sudden the screen will turn like several colors and then just go white.
Ooh, that's not good.
The audio will still play, but the screen just goes out. And then when I close it and open it back up, it returns to normal. And I took it to the Apple store, and they didn't really know what was wrong with it. So they kept it overnight, hoping to replicate the problem. And they weren't able to, so... they just sent it back in.
I hate that. We call these intermittent problems, problems that cannot be made to reoccur. And if you can't, and it just doesn't happen when they're at the store, all they can do is shrug.
Yeah.
It does sound, Dr. Mom in the chat room saying, and she's a physician, so she should know, it sounds like a loose cable in the hinge. But I know that those Macs did also have problems with overheating. And I remember in that era also them having trouble with the logic board getting torqued a little bit. I used to hold my Mac by the corner there, my laptop. And it, just a little bit of flexing there was enough over time to cause some disconnection. So it could. The problem is, the Apple genius is a genius, and they don't know. So I'm just this guy, right? But I do think that those are common problems with MacBooks. Overheating could be that. Could be that the connector from the motherboard to the screen, that goes through a hinge, right? It's one thing that fails often on laptops because of the, the constant flexing of the screen, that the ribbon cable can get damaged. Or it could be, and this was a problem in some Macs of that vintage, a cracked motherboard. If it's that, it's very expensive. I'm surprised the Apple genius didn't take it apart and look at the ribbon cable.
Yeah, because one thing I did see when I was looking up, trying to find an answer myself, was replacing, it was called, the clamshell, which I've never heard of. So I'm guessing that's just the top part.
Yeah, I don't know that name. I mean, it must be the top part, and that would be replacing the screen and the ribbon. The problem is that's essentially how the Apple Store works. They don't fix anything. They swap. They replace. If you could find, and Apple's made sure that there's few and far between of these things, but if you could find an actual, not Apple company store, but Apple authorized repair facility, sometimes those guys will fix things. They'll actually say, oh, yeah, the ribbon cable's bad. Let's put another one in. Instead of, let's replace the whole clamshell assembly at the cost of $1,000.
Okay.
So, but Apple won't do that. Apple doesn't do board level repairs, but only a third party, and it should be Apple authorized. You don't want just some shade tree guy doing it. But I've had that in the past. I've had problems that Apple said, "Well, you need a new logic board. That's $2,000." Or then I took it to a friend, and he resoldered the connector, and everything's fine for $50.
Okay. Yeah, because I did notice that at certain angles, it will start to go out.
Yeah, that sounds. See, if the on the plastic ones, just ever so slightest torquing can actually crack the logic board, and if that's cracked, oof, you're going to need a new machine, because eventually it's just going to go out for good. If it's just the ribbon cable, that's a simple, cheap fix. I can't tell which it is, what's your experience? Look, the Apple Store is really good. Their service, their support is really good. But when it comes to, this is kind of true of a auto dealer too, right? As long as a car is under 5 years old and shiny and bright, they're fine. But when you get an old car or an old computer long out of warranty, that's when you want the shade tree mechanical. Go in there with a screwdriver and see what's wrong in there. Oh, yeah, I can see the problem here, right here. Look, see that? That's cracked. The framage is cracked. We could replace that there, but you'd have to mill a new ring just for that there. But that'll cost you $35, and then I'll charge you for an hour of my time. That's $10. What do you think? That's what you need. You need that guy. Tony in San Diego. Hold on a second. We're going to get to you in a bit. He asks a good question tied to Anthony's. Do Macs die?
I think mine might.
All animals die. So, Tony, what happened?
Well, Leo, great show, by the way, and you make me sort of unproductive on the weekends because I have your show playing in the background, and then the next thing I know, I'm spending 30 minutes on
Well, it is the weekend. It's a good time to take some time for you and your loved ones or your computer.
So, my loved one, my wife's computer, her iMac, which is a hand-me-down for me.
Okay.
When I went to the 27, she got my 21-inch, and then I'm getting something called a kernel panic.
Uh-oh.
So I've reinstalled the OS. I've reseated the RAM.
Oh, boy.
It was fine for a while, and then, boom, it's back.
This is the older one.
The white plastic, yeah.
Yeah. So a kernel panic is generally a hardware failure. It could be a software failure, but if it is, it's going to be a low-level software failure like system software, because applications cannot cause kernel panics in theory.
Uh-huh.
Kernel panic is the worst possible crash on the Mac. That's where the whole screen kind of goes blue, and you see Russia. It says. I always notice, I don't know why, but it says it in many languages, including Russian and Chinese.
Yes.
And it basically says you're screwed.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't even know why they put an error message. They should just put a Mac, they used to do that with X's over its eyes. Because that's what happened. It is such a bad crash that there's no recovery. It's the blue screen of death for Macintoshes. Now, yeah. It could be. Did you do an update, a hardware or software update recently? Or
no, I hadn't. and it had been sitting in, it's a desktop, so it didn't get moved around or banged around or anything.
Hmm.
Showing up one day.
Yeah.
But I reset or reseated the RAM.
That's good.
For a while. And then I just, it happened again, so I reseated the RAM. Now the screen won't even turn on, and I get the white flash.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a hardware failure, probably. And it could be the motherboard, it could be cooling, but I think you have to bring this in. I'm sorry to say. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It has met its Waterloo, says Ben. I don't, you could reinstall the OS, but I think, since he reset,
it's a crazy world.
It worked. That it does sound like it could be that.
How do I get
protection? He did reinstall. That's right. Yeah.
Malware from viruses, worms, Trojan horses, keystroke loggers, all those little beasties.
Could be so many different things. Unfortunately,
really only one program you need. The one I use, ESET's Nod 32. It has the most advanced heuristics engine. That means that it detects the bad guys before they can get to you.
This is the old Mac hour.
So lightweight, it doesn't bog your system down. It's protection you won't even notice. ESET's Nod 32 got 5 out of 5.
Yeah, shake it. Slap it, shake it, beat it up.
Try the latest and greatest.
That's the solution.
30 days.
That's the trick.
Okay, Leo, last live read is going to be Carbonite here.
All right, thank you. Just the ladies sing. Or not just the men.
You sound so sweet tonight.
All right, not just the athletes. All right, just the fat people. Okay, just the Greeks. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That actually was a great moment. Very funny article I read in the online on Vanity Fair review of the... I was laughing out loud. Review of the opening ceremonies. Quite fun. But I enjoyed it. It was strange. They were strange. There were some strange moments. But it was quite fun. And I have to admit, I love watching the Summer Olympics. It's just great. 8888 Ask Leo, but don't watch it right now. Stay tuned. We got a tech guy. Hey, there's a show going on here. Eli, San Fernando, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm well, Eli. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to you for a while, and finally got rid of my BlackBerry after about 6 years.
Well, it's about time.
My problem is I run projects, and I have a lot of information on my BlackBerry, my Outlook, stuff like that.
Yeah.
How do I get, is there an app or something that I can use to transfer all my tasks, memos,
Do you use the BlackBerry desktop, right?
Yes, I use the BlackBerry desktop.
Yeah, so what I would do is sync it up one last time with the BlackBerry desktop, say goodbye, bye-bye, and export it out of the BlackBerry desktop. You probably won't be able to export it out in directly into, for instance, Google Task List. What's the new phone?
Droid Evo 4G.
Yeah, so the ideal would be to use Google Calendars. That has a task menu. The ideal would be get the address book and everything into the calendars. You should be able to export from BlackBerry desktop into a format that you could then import into Google Calendars. There's an import feature in the Google Calendars if you search through the menu.
So do I just log into my new Gmail? Is that what I do?
Yeah, I would use everything should be in Gmail. Now, maybe just ask the chat room. It's been a long time since I've used the BlackBerry desktop. Manager, how would you, is there an easy way to export from the BlackBerry desktop, or do you have to kind of do an intermediate step? I tell you, here's what I would do. If you Google BlackBerry and Google Calendar, there'll be somebody who will give you a step-by-step. It probably exports it in some sort of comma or tab delimited format, which is kind of a standard, and then you'll...
And I'll do my tasks and all my memos. What about the memos? Because I have a lot of information for projects.
Are the memos in a standalone memo app, or are they attached to something? What are they part of?
It's just a memo from Outlook, you know. And they have
and it's Outlook. Okay.
Yeah.
I would look for. So your memos are syncing into Outlook.
But, you know, it's just kind of, I have to remember, it's memory lane. I haven't used a BlackBerry since 2007. So I'm trying to remember. I made the same transition. Look, hundreds, thousands, millions before you, Eli, have made this transition. It's painful, but you only have to do it once. James is going to put a link in our show notes to the Google Mobile sync information. There is a Google sync on BlackBerry. I think it should be able to get at least the context and the calendar. The memos you may have to export out as small text files, and then my recommendation to replace the memos, and I think you'll like it, is something called Evernote.
Evernote.
And it will become your notebook for going forward for the future. And the nice, one of the nice things about Evernote is it works on everything, Windows, Mac, iPhone, Android, everywhere. So once you get your notes into Evernote, you have them forever.
Awesome.
So that's that, you know, you're going to go through one painful, you know, day or two of transition. There is Evernote on BlackBerry. I guess you could do it within the BlackBerry. That seems like that would be the hard way to do it. I think there's going to be a way you can just kind of sync it up.
All right. I appreciate your
assistance. Yeah, good luck, Eli. It's a pain, but you'll be able to do it. It's just, and the good news is you do this once, and now the problem was really the BlackBerry was this kind of proprietary format. And it worked fine as long as you didn't leave BlackBerry. What you want to do is get in some sort of kind of more standard format that can then be moved around easily. And I think Google is the choice for this. Yeah, Dan calls it a data silo. That's it. That's exactly what it is. It's siloed. So, Frank, what's happening? You can hear the audio, but you can't see the video.
That's right. Thanks for taking my call, Leo. Appreciate
sure, Frank.
It. I've got a couple questions, actually, but the first one's YouTube, and I started noticing the screen where the video would play would start to would go green, and I thought, well, maybe that's part of the video, but then I started noticing it.
Yeah, that's something wrong
with
it.
And this has been bothering me for some time.
Yeah. Green usually means, so is it a pretty old computer?
It's about 3 years old. It's a laptop, actually. It's an Asus laptop.
Okay. Green, in my experience with video, often means that your video card, older computers, because it wasn't possible for the video card to handle the video in a timely fashion. Modern video cards are fast enough to do this. This doesn't happen anymore. But they would do something called overlay video, where video would just be blasted into the memory without any processing on the part of the video card. When that didn't work, you'd get green or a hole on the screen. So, first of all, of course, you know, Google uses Flash on YouTube. So make sure you have the latest Flash. What browser are you using, Frank?
I've tried various browsers.
Same thing.
All of them. It actually crashes the computer. I get the blue screen.
So it could be Flash is broken. There's another thing you can do, which I would like to try. It may not fix this, but it'll give you more information. Is switch to the HTML5 version of YouTube. If you Google YouTube and HTML5, all one word. You'll get the HTML5 page, or you can just go to youtube.com/HTML5, and you can join the HTML5 trial. What this does is it stops using Flash. And if you have a compatible browser, it will start using a different technology to display video. See if that fixes it. If it does, then we know Flash is broken, and you need to just update your Flash.
It's also, I've removed every Adobe product that I have, and I also, because what was happening, actually, it was causing the computer to crash. I was getting the blue screen of death.
Yeah. It could also be video drivers, so that's why I want to see if it's Flash. So changing to the HTML5, no, you're still going to want to fix Flash because there's many sites that do still use Flash. Dr. T is pointing to an article, which we'll put in the show notes, on Lifehacker that says, fix a green screen on Flash videos by disabling hardware acceleration. This is actually what I was talking about earlier, this pass-through video. You may, in your Adobe Flash settings, have a checkbox that says enable hardware acceleration. If you disable that, that may fix it. In fact, this looks like it's exactly the problem you're having. So I'll put a link at techguylabs.com to this article. Thank you to the chat room for that one. That's a good tip. Generally, if you get a green screen and a Flash video, audio but no video, you can refresh the page and get it working again.
The root of the problem likely hidden in your video driver is a quick fix disable hardware acceleration. And that, I think, is disabling the pass-through video that I was talking about. That green screen almost always means to me a failure in pass-through video. So try that. A couple of things you can do anyway. Hey, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.